Blog Talk Radio.
God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify, and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God. Every day is feeling just like Sunday. White is fly by my side. Green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams. Just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise. What's in the water got you acting like this? Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Waking up the whole block. Music loud, turning out. Little kids are breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
To get you to do something, you better not follow them damn as I swear, I declare, so much power in prayer, you had no idea, God is all.
Wilson, I'm blessed. Man, I love that song, bro. I love that song. I feel like him sometimes. I said, Lord, if you could just get me through another day, I'll shout you out. We'll have a little church up in here from time to time. And I mean that. All right, all right. I want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Show. We're gonna get this show going. Man, our weather today, it was good all the way up until right before the show started. And now it's raining. Man, we had a pretty good week. We had some drops of rain from time to time, some quick showers, but then it dried right up. But that's that Michigan weather. Oh, so we can't complain too much. It's raining now. Kind of makes me want to go prop my feet up and go to sleep. But nevertheless, we got a show to do. So With that being said, we're going to get on with the show. So, I don't know what we're going to do today, fellas. I guess we'll freestyle again today because we'll have to come up with a topic because I don't have a topic for tonight. I was rushing trying to get back here and get the show started for you guys. So, anybody got a topic, a good topic, hit the one button and we'll talk about it. Boy, we got some, we got an event coming up. Next weekend, we've got, Mr. Clean's Car Show. And Mr. Clean's Car Show be pretty big, people. You should go and come out there and support. It will be at the flea market on DeQuinder, 8.5 mile in DeQuinder. Right at the flea market. Can't miss it. Come on out next Saturday. Caleb and Mr. Clean putting on a car show. It should be big. Should be nice. Most of the fellas is going to be there. Get a chance to see some nice cars and see who's going to win the trophy. So come on down. Check us out. With that being said, what else we got coming up? On the 11th, we've got Pour Your Own Pro at Onondaga, hosted by Detroit Hood Mike. Come on out and let's support him. Detroit Hood has been pretty good to the show. Y'all want to see some racing going on? Because it don't look like too many people is doing a lot of racing nowadays. I don't know what's wrong with people. They got cars, but they'll go to a car show but won't go race their car. I guess they scared to call somebody out for a few dollars. There's nothing wrong with that. Man, just go on and line your car up. If you lose, you lose. If you win, you win. You win you some money. So I don't know why these people are being scared like this, but come on, people. Go on and race your cars because I can't wait till I get mine. I'm going to challenge everybody. And it's going to be a little friendly way. Just shucks, it ain't going to be nothing to hurt nobody. We ain't going out there on the ledge and trying to spend no $5,000, $10,000 unless it need be. But let's keep it comfortable, people, so we can race. Goodness. That's a damn shame. I'm going to have to drive to Florida and I'm drive down south to get me some racing. So hit the one button. Let's see what we can talk about today, people. One of my co-hosts all the way from Maryland, hit the one button. Brother Unknown, if you out there, hit the one button. Let's see what you got on your agenda. Brother Unknown, you out there? Hit the one button. See what you got going on, what y'all got going on over there in Maryland. Oh, we got another Vaughn got a race, I think, this coming weekend, too. I got to get some reinstatement on that. I think his race is this weekend at US 41. So let me look it up right quick. I think I've got it wrote down. I think Vaughn's race is next week. Let's see what I got here on the charts. Yep, September. And they didn't put a date on it, but I think it's next week. That's Vaughn's race, US 41. Big Sham got a race October the 17th and 18th. Big Drag race is October the 10th. That's on a Sunday. We need to go out and show them some support, people. If you want a race, you want a drag race, you want to get your race on too, shoot, travel over there and lock in. I don't know why. I think I know why people ain't locking in, ain't traveling to get no race. It's only got to be fear. Fear and lack of money, the only two main things. Anything else in the way is uncivilized. So, what y'all going to do, fellas? Y'all going to race or y'all going to just sit there and look pretty? You got a car. You go, you drive it to the, you take it to the car show, but you won't race the car. I don't understand. I don't understand. Okay. There's some people out there still working on their car. I understand that. I ain't gonna push you too hard, but you gotta get your car fixed so you can go racing. If you ain't did no racing all year, you might want to get in the plate because Michigan weather don't last too long up here. So we got September, October. If the Lord makes sure, if the Lord give us some good weather anytime after that, you might be able to get it on. But you only got 60 days, actually less than 60 days because it started to get kind of chilly about the middle part of October. So what y'all going to do? Y'all going to race or y'all going to call it quits for the rest of the year? Good question. All right, where my co-host at? Okay. Let me get my thing get going here. Where my stuff at? Hold on. There we go. Come on in, Brother Rich. Come on in. Wipe your feet. Come on in the dough. I know it's raining.
How you
out
doing,
Stick? How you doing, Brother Rich? How you?
It's all done raining here, and it's only like 75 degrees, so it's beautiful here.
Oh, man. Why don't you speed that rain up a little bit, man, because it's coming down right here. Oh, it's soaked up.
We got it earlier.
Yeah.
A little flicker in the power and all that.
Well,
out too? Well, it didn't go out. It flickered a little bit.
Yeah.
But no, to answer your question, I'm doing every goddamn thing I can to get to the racetrack. So,
I know you are, Rich.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah. There's a black cloud over that damn car of mine, and I can't get rid of it. Every time I take two steps forward, I take one back. So.
Something else, Rich?
Oh, yeah. We had issues yesterday.
Just little things, wrong part.
I mean, just, you know, like I say, little things. The stud girdles that I had on the car were for a 60-40 offset head valve train. I don't have a 60-40. I got standard. So it was putting side load on the studs when you tightened everything up.
Yeah.
We tore it apart to adjust them. We found an issue. We fixed it. We got more different parts. Just, you know, it's little things. It's just everything. Like I said, two steps forward, one back. Now tomorrow,
good.
I got a couple things to finish up, and we're going to put it on the scales, and we're planning on testing Friday. So hopefully we're done with them backward steps.
Hopefully. But, you know, keep your head up because it might be something else that's going to fall right in your lap. But that's the nature of the beast. When you building a brand new Frankenstein, hell, them bolts on the side of his neck might start glowing next. Where the hell that come from? But
yeah,
it happens.
Like I said, man. You know, the sad thing is as expensive as racing fuel is.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through 7 gallons of race fuel, and it ain't even off the jack stand yet.
Ooh, good God Almighty. Seven gallons.
That thing is freaking drinking gas, man. It's thirsty. It's a thirsty little bitch.
That's a good sign, though.
Yeah?
That's a good sign. God
damn.
Yes, it is.
That's going to be expensive.
Yeah, that's a newborn baby that's ready to run around in that playground.
Yeah. She's thirsty,
well,
that's for sure.
That's good. Well, once we get her together, we'll see what's happening. Hold on. Let me open up this other mic. This is Corey, and somebody's calling me right now. Corey, your mic is open.
Yo, what's happening, fellas? What's up, Rich?
Corey, long time. Hope everything's going good in your world. You're making lots of money.
I'm making it. Still got to deal with the problems after, man.
He said he's making it, but he don't know about how. He don't know if it's a lot of it.
I know what we're going through.
See, there's never enough of it, so it never adds up to a lot of it. But as long as you're going in the right direction, you're all right.
Oh yeah, definitely going in the right direction. I'm glad you got the car running. That's some good signs to go out there and crack some heads.
I don't know if it's running or not. It's running, but I don't know if it's a good thing. Goddamn thing's been draining my bank account. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to race it once it's done or not.
Well, I got a sponsor. I got a sponsor for you right now. He's coming on the show, and everybody in California got big money. So, Tell, be a sponsor for Rick.
Man, I need that sponsor too.
What's going on, everybody?
Corey too.
What you need? I damn sure any money you can send this way, brother. Any of it, because my car is sucking my ass dry.
Well, a car's like a boat. It's the two best times of the day you buy it and the day you sell it. Those are your two happiest days.
The day you buy it and the day you sell it. Good.
Yeah, because you're happy that you bought it, then it drains you all that money, and then you're happy when you sell it.
I'll think it before
you
I
break
sell
up?
It.
What did you break? You didn't break nothing, did you?
No, just like I was telling Shake, I take two steps forward and then it's one back. I mean, something as simple as adjusting the valve latch after the break-in period and then finding the girdles are the wrong ones that are on the motor. So I got to go buy another set of 200 girdles and shit. I mean, it's just, it's a bunch of little stupid shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty much. Well, you'll get over the hump in a minute, Rich, because once you get all the kinks out the way, before you know it, that baby's going to fire up, and then you'll be ready to go down on somebody's butt. But you've got to go through them little obstacles, that's all.
So let me ask this. You don't run shaft-mounted rockers?
I ran out of money.
Oh.
I had a set of Jessels on order for it, and we cancel them because I didn't have the $1,800 to buy the goddamn things.
Oh, wee.
Well, they ain't cheap, that's for sure.
Yeah, they like them just.
Ain't cheap.
Well, keep that little secret to myself then.
Hey, Tao. You supposed to be a backer. You supposed to be a supporter, a backer. You want to handle that? You want to handle that for
him? Bank of California. Your check's in the mail.
Oh, he said your check's in the mail. Good God Almighty!
Thanks, Dale. That's about the same support I'm getting from everybody else.
Well, damn, Rich, I'm broadcasting it on the show live, hoping we can reach somebody out here that'll support you.
I'll take anything I can get, buddy. Anything. I mean, don't get me wrong. The shop's been doing really good. You know, I've been selling quite a bit of fuel and nitrous for guys. We had a whole bunch of guys just went down Indiana for the North-South Civil War race. You know, they all come out here and got their nitrous and all that shit before they left. So, I mean, like I said, it's just the cars. I planned
out the
track 2 weeks ago.
Where did they go this time? This was a no-prep race?
Yeah, it was a Civil War race in the South at Muncie Dragway.
Oh, in Muncie, in Indiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was some, I can't remember what the purse was, but it was a good purse. They had, I want to say, somebody told me, I thought I seen where they had 64 cars in it, $300 a car.
Ooh, that's quite a bit.
It was So it was a good show. Unfortunately, I think the money went to Ohio.
Ohio's been cleaning up.
Yeah, they have. I mean, between all the PYLPs up here and the races in Indiana and everything else, Ohio's definitely taking the money home this year. So we got to put a stop to that shit.
Hey, fellas, I got a special guest coming on today. I have been looking for this guy for a minute, and Corey, you know him. I want to introduce him to everybody. He's a good guy. He's an older cat. He's a legend here in Detroit, and he races a Mopar. So we want to welcome all the Mopar legends. He's been racing like Big Drag have and Mr. Willie and a lot of other guys. And I called him up and talked to him. I said, I want to welcome you on the show. So we're going to show him much love and get some knowledge out this brother. Coming to the door, 313-0995. Is that you, Kenny Osborne?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Kenny?
You got me? All right.
I got you.
All right, Shake.
I got you. Hey, I wanna welcome you first and foremost to the Shake and Bake Show. I know that's your first time. And for all the fellas out there that's listening, you are a legend. I try to get all the legends on here and give them their respect because y'all paved the way for us. I know you've been racing and running your race car for quite a few years. I've heard about your senior car. Tell everybody what your name is and what kind of car you got, and just give us a little bit of what you've been going through in life.
Okay, my name's Ken Osborne. I have two cars. I had at one time a 64 Plymouth Osborne Racing that we raced at Detroit Dragway and left there going to Milan. And then in 2004, I started building a Dodge Avenger. And we finished the car up, and now it has a 528 with a two-speed glide, and it runs 860. Consistent. So that's me.
Ooh.
When at Detroit Dragway, when did you run this? You run like in this car like in the mid 80s?
No, the Plymouth, I ran that in the mid 80s. I met Luke Garner and a guy we know him as Click. And in the early 80s, and they introduced me to Bill Hancock, who became my engine builder. Well, he became my machinist. Because when you're doing a race motor, that's a different thing from production. You have to have somebody that knows what they're doing. They have the right machines. They have the knowledge. And they can enlighten you with what they're doing because it's all a game of knowledge. You got to know what you want. You got to know where you want to go, how much money you want to spend, and have some fun. I hear a lot of guys say the fun is in buying it and selling it. You never get the fun in selling it because all the years that you put in racing the car, that doesn't put into the selling because you have to virtually kind of go for, hey, what do you want to give me for it? I can put $100,000 into a car, but I can't ask $100,000 for that car, so it's what you want to give me for it. But having the car and having fun, and that's what I've had. I've been racing since 1970. I graduated from high school in 1970. My brother and I started racing in 65. At Detroit Dragway. So, you know, like I say, I was breaking stuff, going out there making half a pass.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, a lot of us do that.
Yeah. But when I met Bill Hancock, it became a different game. I learned the logistics of racing. when I went to his shop, I told him how much money I had, and he gave me a book. And he said, go home and read this book. And I've been reading the book. I still read the book.
What's the name of the book, Kenny?
Well, it's the Mopar manual of engine building. But, you know, another book that he gave me, and this was in the 90s, it was called Cybernetics. And Cybernetics was the psychosis of the mind and body and the machine becoming one. I've been to Roy Hills Racing School. You know, I've been to Roy Hills Chassis School.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I've learned, you know, they work. And it's not no science. It's just reading, writing, arithmetic, the basic fundamentals. That you're all the only thing that you got to learn. And then you got to know where you want to go. You got to know how much money you want to spend. Right now I'm getting ready to step the game up. I'm getting ready to put a bigger motor in the car. So we're going to see, we're going to see what the car is going to run.
Oh, okay.
See, I haven't been scared. I haven't been scared. It hasn't scared me yet, so I'm going to drive it. But if it scares me, then I'll hire me a gun. We'll go out here and giant kill.
I heard that.
But we're gonna have some fun.
You say you got two cars, both of them running, or you just got one going right now?
Yeah, both of them
running.
My 64 has a 426 wedge configurations. It runs 980s. And my 2000 Dodge Avenger runs 860s consistent. Like our last outing, we went out to my island, and I think this was in 2019 before the pandemic came, and we ran 865, 865, 865, 867.
And what car was that?
That was the Avenger.
What year is the Avenger?
It's a 2000 Dodge Avenger.
Okay.
Yeah. I built the car from the first bolt to the last nut.
Mm.
Is that 64? Is it a 330?
No, it's a 64 Plymouth Fury.
Oh, it's a Plymouth. Oh, I thought it was a Dodge. I'm sorry. I had a 64 Dodge Palette. It was my first street car.
Okay.
That's a Belvedere?
Yeah. Well, the Belvedere was the cheapest model. Then you had the Fury. Then you had the Fury 2. Then you had the Sports Fury. They made four models, but they cheapened them up. You know, no. This one had a little bit more chrome. That one had a little bit more plusher interior or carpet. One had, I remember, they had a 64 or 65 that had the console, that had the tech in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet still, they were push button. That one was ratchet drive, you know, console drive.
Okay. So you got the 64 Fury.
I've been playing with these cars. Well, my dad and I was in the backyard in the alleys on Vinewood and Warren back in the 50s, late 50s, with my dad, handing him a screwdriver, readjusting points, pulling spark plugs out and cleaning them. Well, that's what you did back in the old days. You changed your oil every 3,000 miles, if you could change the oil, you know. But as cars evolved and got better and more sophisticated, you know, and electronics got into the game, the game has changed. There's a lot of things that you can't do on these cars now. It's just better to take them to the dealer or get them to a shop that knows what they're doing. And that's the whole thing. Get you a shop or get you somebody that knows what they're doing, and you can and can teach you what they're doing and teach you how to do it.
Hey, Kenny, when I was young, my older brother had a race car. He had a Belvedere convertible. He had one of his friends, because they were Mopar guys. He had one of his friends named John Cannon, a guy named John Cannon. Do you remember him?
We called him Hemi John.
Oh, so you
had
you knew
had
John
a, had
Cannon?
A yellow Barracuda. Yes,
sure
sir.
Did, sure did. He took me out on 75 with that car one time. And, man, when I seen the power in that joker, I said, I got to get in this game. One other question. Because my brother was been looking for John Cannon. Is he still alive?
I don't know. One of the guys that, well, Dwight, my friend Dwight, because him and Dwight, I knew Hemi John through Dwight. Just like I knew Joe, I knew there was a guy named Joe, Hemi Joe. He had a dart running around here, you know. But Dwight, my friend Dwight now, he's then had a physical problem. So
yeah.
I don't think, you know, I couldn't know how to get in touch with anybody now.
Okay.
Shoot. With all of us guys, man, we're getting up in there in age. You know, I've had a hit in my life. Where
right.
You know, it kind of put me out of the scene for about 6 years. I had to learn how to do things over again. So, you know, it's like I say, right now this is my last hurrah. I'm just building something to put out there as and put it as a selling piece. It's gonna have a brand
right.
new bullet in it. Everything is, you know, good. Hey, I want to sell everything.
Okay.
But if I want to run it too before I sell it. You know, I want to get that feel.
Well, what we do here on the show, Kenny, is we keep up on the races going on. You know, Caleb having a car show this weekend. At the flea market.
Yeah,
you gonna be there?
Oh well, see my car. The motor is in the shop. We're doing the motor over now, so I'll have it ready for next spring. I've got to go out next spring and get my. I got to do my license passes over, and I've got to get the car certified. So that's the. You know, what we're going to do next spring, and then get out here and run the car. We'll try to hit Norwalk. We'll try to hit US 131, and we'll try to hit Stanton.
Okay.
You know.
Ooh, I ain't been out of Stanton in years.
Oh, yeah. I've been up there twice, and this was back in the probably in the 90s. Early 90s, because we started going to Norwalk in 94. We went to Norwalk from 94 to 99. Every year we were at Norwalk, and it was fun. To get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to Reveille, and you hear a car
right.
over here fire up, and you listen, and you hear a car over there fire up, and then all of a sudden the pitch come alive. And at 8 o'clock, you hit the track. And it was on. Oh, man, it was on. It was like five of us that went up there as a group. You know, we all pitted together, and, you know, and then there was about Alabama, Rick Wilson. They'd come up there. You know, we'd all meet up there sometime or another and pit together and have a whole hell of a good weekend at the Halloween Classics.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It was fun. So, you know, that's the thing of it. Have fun with what you're doing. If you ain't having fun, stop doing it. Because you're just wasting your time and you're just wasting your money. If you got money to waste, hey, if you got money to waste, get with Shake. I'll give you my address. You can send me some because I'll need a set of tires. I gotta put tires on my towing rig, and I got to put tires on the trailer. I got to put tires on the car.
I heard that.
So I'll need some money next spring.
I know that's right. Maybe this brother here can give us some money.
But I tell you what, I'll be out there showing it.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay.
Hey,
all
brother.
Right, Shake.
Kenny. Hey, Caleb, how you doing?
Okay.
You on the Shake and Bake Show.
Hey, man, what's happening?
You got a minute you want to put out your car show this weekend?
Next weekend, Sunday. Labor Day weekend, the 5th. We'll be right there at County Line Trade Center, 8 Mile in Nequindah. Me and Mr. Clean.
Is that this Sunday or Saturday?
It's Sunday. September
Sunday.
The 5th. Well, the day's Sunday, so it's next Sunday. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Caleb.
Huh?
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. Sitting there, just got my food, sat down to eat. And watching the game. Everybody okay?
I was over the Porters. They were supposed to have that Heinz Drive cruise, but that was canceled. So everybody
they canceled
met
it.
The Porters. Yeah, everybody met over the Porters, and he cooked and everything. We had
barbecue. That sounds good.
You know. Oh yeah, until the rain ran us out.
Well, it didn't rain here till just a little while ago. You think they was able to get through the hard part?
It stormed over here.
Oh, did it really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Damn.
I bet you some basements flooded again.
I bet it. I ain't never seen it. This bad.
That,
freeway flood, basement every time it rains.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and I'm going to be letting everybody know September the 19th, we're going to give a little picnic out at Lower Huron Park.
Lower Huron Park?
Lower Huron. It'll just take 94, come up just past next exit past 275 is Haggerty. Make a left turn on Haggerty, and it'll take you right into the park.
And what date is that again?
September 19th. I'm gonna put it out on Facebook. I can't let everybody know, but you know all the fellas, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lower Huron Park, September 19th. Melvin, your mic is open.
Hey, what's happening, fellas? Happening, fellas?
All right.
Hey, Kenny, this one for you, man.
Yes,
Mac Travis say you still got the back tie whenever he catch you. You know that, right?
Okay.
You know I got to pick with you with that one, don't I?
That's my boy, Mac. I thought we all right.
When you're talking about the Mopar boys, you got the James Roll boys. you know, Ronnie Rose and James Rowe back in the day, man. The Mopar boys, they was Mopar fanatics, you know.
Oh,
they
yeah.
All
yeah.
there in the 70s and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Lem, you used to have Mopar, too.
Yeah,
you
I did. You know.
Guys on the show tonight, yeah.
I had that 69 Dodge Dart with
know?
That Skroker motor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. Just by shedding them.
And got started with the Mustang.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Psycho, too. Yeah, Psycho. That was the first one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can go back to Luke Garner, Old Man Moe. What's his name? Ness.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Down there
yep.
with the Soul Shaker. Oh, man. He would go out there and wear them out.
Yeah, down at the White Capitol.
Yeah,
that was the main spot.
There.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it'd be packed down there. We could hang out all night and go different places, race, and then have no problem.
Yep.
Got to finish
no
racing, go right back there.
Yep. Nah, you can't do nothing.
You'd be scared to be around there.
Mm-hmm. They done messed it up. They don't know how to do.
Yeah, they shake and bake. I got my food sitting there. I got to eat. But next Sunday, if you get a chance, September the 5th, we'll be at County Line Trade Center, Mr. Clean and the Metro Cruiser.
Okay, and then I'm going to try to make that one in the park over there with you.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to put it out on Facebook, you know, the friends and stuff, you know. But just remember September 19th,
okay.
Lord Huron. And if you have you can call me. If you don't know where we're at, you know, my number is 313-506-0105.
Okay.
And I had that number for 20 years, seems like. Okay?
All righty. Okay.
All right, then.
Yeah. Take care,
Caleb. All right, Shake and Bake.
All right, Caleb.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming.
All right, yeah, I'll take it easy, man. Okay.
All right, Shay.
All right.
I'll talk with you later.
You gone, Kenny?
Yeah.
He heard that. He heard Mac Travis' name, man. That scared him off, man. I shouldn't have said Mac Travis.
Mac Travis.
I ain't gone yet. I'm not gone yet. What you got to say, Mac?
Hey, I can't get Mac on here, you know. You know he'll give you that back
time. Oh, okay.
I just called him, Melvin. He said he was trying to get some sleep. I say beauty sleep.
Oh yeah.
You pass beauty, man. He said he's gonna try to call in, but you know how he is. He get to laying down. He might wake up, might not.
No, he got to be in the bed when the street lights come on.
Yeah, well, yeah,
you say when the street lights come on.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Well,
you say you
got
to go
right,
in when the street lights come on.
Yeah.
In the bed.
Well, I got to...
Not in the house, in the bed.
Yes, sir. All right, brothers. I will talk with you guys later. Nice talking.
All right. Appreciate
all right,
you, Mr. Legend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Glad to get Mr. Kenny Osborne on the show. Oh man, we had one of the Mopar finest. If we can get your other one with that little arrow, come on. Ooh.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Keep trying.
When you know what? The only reason he ain't coming on. Yeah, and he don't go to the car shows and stuff because his car ain't running. He always like to go out somewhere when his car is running and make an impression. So, but it's been a long time, a lot of years. He ain't got that joker running right. So he going to take the back seat for right now.
He get back out there one of these days.
Quarter flash. Yep, a lot of people ain't seen that car, and they still think he still got that demon running, but it's not. He switched over to a different car. one day the Mopar guys will pop up, show out.
Yeah, I used to have to battle the Mopars back in the 70s.
You might have to go buy your Mopar and stick your engine in there and pretend.
No, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to perpetrate no fraud. Not no more. No more half-breeds.
You used to.
Well, my GCOs, I did. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, what was that, that Falcon you had?
Yeah, they're talking at a Chevrolet motor. Well, when they come back, it's going to be half-breed. We were just talking about it the other day. I need to go and get it and bring it back and put it back together. I just don't have the time, that's all.
Get it together, man, and let me borrow it. I'm going to use it to go get Greg. I'm going to make Greg shoot all them systems on me. I'm going to bring him out the bush.
But was one thing for sure, that little Falcon, he's going to have to shoot them all to come catch you because you will get up out of there with that car.
Man, when we was out at
little
Pier,
car will leave.
When I first seen that car come up out of there, I said, God damn, look at that little old Falcon getting up. And remember I walked over here, I said, man, what size engine you got in there? Small block. I said, good God almighty.
Yep. 350 motor.
I will one of these days, man.
Man, that Green Hornet going to get you. He's going to sting you.
I got some antidote for his butt. Come on out here, Greg. I think
man, that old storm picking him up down there in New Orleans, boy.
It's
pretty rough down there. Yeah.
I seen a couple of hits on Facebook about some bad weather.
Yeah.
That's one place I don't have no relatives at in Orleans.
Ida.
Whoo.
It's coming down. Those what's the name things that hold up were working that they put from that big storm they had back, 16 years ago?
You're talking about
when
Katrina?
When it flooded everything down there? Yeah, Katrina. When the levees broke, them levees holding now.
Oh, they holding?
Yeah, they holding. They ain't broke this time.
Mm-hmm. Man, there was so much rumors going on. They was talking about them levees was fixed. They was weak. I don't know anything about the levees or anything or what went down, but that was a real bad catastrophe, man, to happen to all them people like that. Real bad.
Yeah. They was old, that's all. They just couldn't take that Mother Nature when it came up in there, that's all. As they say, she was a little bit stronger than what they had down there.
I just hate to see all them people that got messed up, boy. We had a few guys I knew here that got some construction business. They had a job going down there with their trucks. They drove dump trucks down there, and they had plenty of work.
Okay. So what's your topic tonight? What y'all doing tonight?
Well, I didn't have a topic. I was going to leave it up to my people on the show. Let's see. Hold on. Somebody calling me right now. Where you at, Rich? Where you at, Corey? Where you at, Teo? I got to answer this call.
What's up, Melvin?
You got it, man. Just dealing with the rain and the heat and just watching all this stuff that's going on around the world, man. That's all. Hurricanes in the south, and, you know, hopefully we don't lose no more troops over there in Afghanistan. We get on up out of there, but that's ugly over there, too, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse before it gets better over there, man. That's the sad part.
You know what, Payoff? I believe you're right. I believe you're right, man.
I really do.
You know, the thing is, and I'm not going to throw stones at nobody or nothing like that, because you know what? I don't care who the president is. They always try to do their best. And sometimes the situation, and maybe sometimes the people around them giving them bad advice, and they got to be that front guy. And they're going to take all the hits.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take all the, or they're going to take all the glory. But this is why I've always said, presidents, I don't care who it is, should have a military background. Because the problem is when you evacuate, and I'm talking about in another country as far as Americans are concerned, you evacuate the Americans, you evacuate the people who are helping the Americans, you get all the civilians out, then you pull your troops out. You don't pull your troops out. You don't ever pull your troops out first, because then who's protecting those people? And that's just a basic military advancement
strategy.
And somebody dropped the ball on that. And I can't believe it's one person. I can't believe, but Biden's going to take the hit because he's the president. But I think someone gave him some bad advice. Now, yeah.
Well, you're kind of right about that, because you know they had to have a meeting, a round table meeting on that. And you know they had to make decisions before they done anything. You know, we got to talk about this. And when they walked out the room, that was the decision that they made. And he had a bunch of generals there and a bunch of, you know, all of the military people there. They inside. So, you know, this is what they call on. Yeah. Joint Chiefs of Staff, as they call them.
And don't the president pick somebody that's in the military and say, hey, what do you think we should do? Should we pull our troops out first, or should we go in and get the civilians?
What you have is this. You have the Joint Chiefs, and they sit basically around a table, and the Joint Chiefs are explaining what the military strategy is, but it's still up to the president's people, the defense secretary, secretary of state, all those people, to give the go-ahead, yeah, we should do this. I know the Joint Chiefs want to go in there and blast everything, but we can't do that. We can't. And they try to keep, you know, there's that buffer there. You know what I mean? But protocol is protocol. And any kind of thing like this happens, Benghazi, they left those guys to hang. They didn't even send anybody in to help. But in this situation, they pulled the military out, and then who's protecting all these people now? Now, in June, Biden said that he was going to be leaving 650 troops after the deadline to pull everybody out. To kind of help stabilize, and, you know, they're probably higher up kind of people to keep the Afghan guys going and direction and things like that. But the thing is you never, never pull out troops before you pull out civilians. And I don't know what happened. I don't know who came up with this idea for this, because this should never happen the way it happened.
Well, you know, they kind of threw a wrench in the program on them, though, you know, because, you know, they had been training the Afghans over there to be able to take care of their own country. So they figuring, okay, they got enough here that they could take care, at least they'll fight with it. But when the bad guys showed up, they just surrendered on the first day they showed up. Not one bullet was shot, no nothing. They just gave up. So, you know, that threw a wrench in the whole program right there. They was looking for them to at least, you know, defend themselves. They didn't even defend themselves.
And they have
up.
The numbers too. The Afghans have the numbers. They have the Taliban outnumbered, and they laid down. And now they got all of our now they got all of our guns, our tanks, our air to air missiles. They got it all now.
Well, they're tearing up a lot of it. They ain't leaving it all over there. They blowing it up. They've been blowing it up.
Well, but yeah,
they can't take it with them.
The thing is, but that's how they get their guns. That's how come Afghanistan has so many, AKs over there, because when Russia tried to come in there, and take, and then they
every
they
time somebody go in there, they got to leave and leave everything. Right, they got to leave. Whoever fighting them got to leave everything they got there to get out the country. So that builds up their military.
Let's be honest, that's a poor country, and they have more military armament than some countries around them, because it's what's left and they keep. And you know, but somebody,
any
at the higher ups dropped the ball on this one.
I just look. Hopefully, when it's all over with, man, one day that country just get their act together, man. It can be like the rest of the countries in the world. It's been, shit, hundreds and hundreds of years they've been over there fighting. So who knows what's going to happen with them.
They've been fighting since the days of Jesus over there, Melvin. But it's just the Middle East. It's just
going
to be the Middle East. And just leave it be. We can't save the world.
Nope. I mean, they went over there because of the 9-1-1. And that's the reason why they've been over there for the last 20 years, because of 9-1-1 and chasing the Taliban and all them guys around all that time. But at the end of the day, it was just, you know, what can you call it? Really a waste of time, wasted 20 years.
Well, see, what happens is, and back then, you know, it's like we try to make friends with the certain people and have them kind of do our dirty work. The Iran, Iraq, you know, we backed Iraq when Russia was backing Iran, and it was, and then look what happens with Iraq and up, you know, it's like, we just got to leave those people over there. Let them be. We can't, there's nothing that we can do. Maybe we should get our country straight first, and then we can worry about other countries.
That would make sense to me.
We can't even get this straight. We can't even get this straight, so how are we going to get somebody else straight?
Amen. Amen to that.
And then, you know, they bring in, I think it's 50,000 Afghans here, putting them in all of the Army bases all over the United States. You know that, right?
Yep. Yep.
So they're
going to
house them, feed them. If they ain't, they will be having them soon. You ain't got to worry about it. They're going to be getting them. They've been checking them and doing everything to them, give them a place to stay, training, building up, you know, so they can come and live normal lives and to be able to blend into our society and everything else like that. So
how many of
the 50,000 is going to be bad guys?
And then continue to build a wall between United States and Mexico.
Well, if any of them terrorists is in there, all they got to do is just sit there for a while. And then, you know, once they get, you know, Americanized and they teach them how to go all over America and everything else like that, and they decide they want to turn into a suicide bomber, then not, we got them right here on our own land blowing up everything all over again.
Self-implode.
Yep.
We had a question. The guy wanted to know about phasing the distributor with a crank trigger, but he didn't. Let me see if he's still on here. It looked like he fell off. He having problems with, might be having problem with his phone, but it looked like he fell off. Okay. Yeah, we had Kenny Osborne on a few minutes ago, people, and he's one of the legends here in Motor City, been racing the Mopar for years. Kenny wasn't feeling too good. He had to get off. But I was able to get him to come on the show and talk with us for a few minutes. Can't wait to see his car next year. But hopefully he'll be up at the car show, at Caleb's car show this weekend. We had another legend I was trying to get on the show, Mac Travis, but he must be still asleep. All he has, if he do decide to call in, I hope he just hit the one button, and then we can get him on here. But we got to, you know, the show has got to have an open door policy for all the legends. We've had Mr. Willie on here, Doc James, and is that your phone, Melvin? You got some background noise. Or is that you, Tail?
Nope, I'm on mute.
Okay. Oh, shucks. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to introduce our other legends for the day. We've had a legendary come on the show today. And I have to take my hat off to all the legendaries. They've been racing for many years. This brother here is a Ford man. Been racing quite a few years, and he still got his car together. I want to find out, is he ready to go down on somebody? This brother here coming to the show, people, I want to introduce to you Mac Travis. Mac Travis been around for a while. Come on in, Mac Travis, and say hello to everybody.
How's everybody doing? It's my first time on the show, so I decided to call in. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, we good, Mac Travis. We was trying to get you on a little while ago. We had Caleb on, Caleb Kane, and told us about his him and Mr. Clean got the car show this Sunday at the flea market. So we got that on there. We had Mr. Kenny Osborne on. For about 15, 20 minutes. He was feeling kind of sick. So now I got you. And like I say, I want to get all the legends. Y'all been racing for many years. I want to give y'all much and the utmost respect. Tell everybody who you are and what kind of car you got, Mac Travis.
Well, my name is Mac Travis. I got a 1988 Thunderbird. And I had a probe called Chocolate Thunder.
Ooh, I remember that probe.
Yeah, it runs. Used to run a little bit. I cut it up. Now I got a Thunderbird. Kind of do a little something with it. Just get down the quarter mile, eighth mile. Been in the game for a while.
You do most of your building on your car yourself?
Do everything myself. One man show,
sure.
As they say.
Oh, sure.
Build it, drive it, tune it, gas it up, line it up, you name it, I do it. Well on it, tear up stuff, that's me.
Hey, they say that's how we learn. You make a mistake, you correct it, you keep on going.
Yeah, well.
I'm still
in the game. I've been in for 40 some years. I haven't missed a year, except for this year. So I tear up and go down to St. Louis Black Sunday, tear up a car, build another car, be back next year, run just as fast as I was doing then. So, strictly all nitrous, no nitrous, all motor, and the spray this year.
Ooh. You think about spraying this year?
Yes, sir. A little bit.
Can I get the back tire?
You can get the front and back tire, Mr. Melvin.
Hey, how you know who I was, Shake and Bay? You must have told him.
I don't know. I got to tell him that.
I recognize the voice.
I want my back tire.
He can't hide from nobody, can he?
No. He's on the hit list. I told him first, he got to get past a whole lot of guys before he tried to come to the top. You know, just like a prize fight, you don't start from the bottom, go to the top.
And knock the top off, the rest of them will fall on down, right?
Yeah, you better get past Doc James first before you come try to mess with me.
Not the Doc James.
Yeah.
He didn't even stutter.
Well, that's going to happen.
What did you say, Taylor?
That's going to happen. You ain't got to worry about it. That race is going to happen. Again, it was about to happen back there in May, but it didn't happen. But it's going to happen again. I'll be back.
Yeah, I know. I was there. Neither one of y'all was ready.
Oh, I was ready.
Hey, I'm going to have to put Dennis True on both of you guys.
Ooh.
Travis,
that's not a problem.
What did you say, Corey?
Dennis, I'm going to have Dennis give you the back tie. Now, listen, then I'm going to have Dennis to get him the back tie.
Oh, man.
That's what
he's going to like
that. Is that Dennis number one or Dennis number two?
Both of them.
Don't go there, Matt.
I'm going to have one doing the tuning and two going to be doing the driving. Now, you're going to have a big problem there, buddy.
It's going to be a family affair, man.
Be a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
With the Ford gang.
We be trying our best, you know. We don't call nobody out. So I just do what I got to do and let chips fall away fall.
It's going to be like the Blues Brothers. We're going to put the band back together, Shake. Don't worry about it. We're working on it.
Okay. Hey, Mac, let me ask you a question. You say
yes,
you
sir?
Don't call nobody out?
Yes, sir.
Why is it like that with you? What's your reason for not calling nobody out?
Well, that's the car dude we're talking. You know, a lot of people do it talking. Most of them don't even have a car.
That's true. We've seen that. Now, the reason why I ask you that is because if nobody calls nobody out, how many people is running right now here in the city of Detroit?
Not too many. Just like I just came from Norwalk yesterday, and it was only two black guys there running. You know, I had a whole class. Like one guy told me one year, he says, "I have nothing against you black guys, but where are all your cars at? Everybody got a car, but they're in the garage." I said, "You got a point there, young man." He says, "I know you got cars because you're at the track, but they're at home in the garage." And same way with happened yesterday. Only two people were there. It was the basketball player. He had a 10-5 car. It was clean. And this other brother from Ohio. And
you ain't talking about Terry Mills, was it?
No, not Terry Mills. This is
Tom Hammond.
Yeah, Tom Hammond was there. He had a clean 69 Camaro, clean on the Board of Health. And he blew the tires off. And another brother had a Camaro, and he ran pretty good. Oh, I take that back. It was three. He got Kim's son was there, Kerry. He went 395. Yeah, there was only three there. Hey, they got a point. They got cars in the garage, same as mine, they're in the garage.
So what makes you think they're not racing, Max Ryan? What makes you think they're not racing?
If they did, they you could go to track any weekend or whatever. They're not there. They're there to watch, but they don't have no car. They don't bring no car.
I know. Why
you've been
not
before.
Racing?
You've been down to 41, and southeast to north. How many blacks? Not a whole lot of them. Some of them. You know, but you can name them, even from Chicago. The boys, they got tons of cars. The only one that really doing some of them guys that really do those big money growth races.
Donnie.
And average guy can't afford to bet no money like that.
Okay, so my question is, like for the people here in Detroit, why? Because I know a lot of guys got race cars, Mr. Clean, Ben, you two on the show, Melvin, Travis, Doc James. Man, it's a ton of tank. Why these guys ain't racing? The only two people I've seen race or tried to race this year was Melvin and Doc James. Where's the rest of the guys? Why are they not racing?
Well, I can't speak for them, but maybe the money not there, or maybe the car is hurt, you know.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Likely,
maybe it's the money.
Yeah, and because
car hurt.
They might have, could be hurt. And if one guy just, you know, it's just a weekend hobby, it takes a whole lot for him to get his car back out there. you know, more so, especially if he one man show, you know, he's footing all the bill by himself.
And okay, that would be that would fall in the money category.
Yeah, it'd be different if he retired and everything. He don't have the money to throw in that car as somebody working every week. This week I buy this week I buy that. When you work, retired, you get paid once a month. So, yeah, hey, that car can sit. You got to eat, right?
Yeah. Bills got to be paid. Goodbye.
Right. So that goes to tell you. If you ain't got the money, that second hobby, it can stay in the garage for a while until you sell it or whatever.
Okay. You hit on two good things. You said their cars is hurt down for repairs, and I can understand that because I know guys have got to get their cars repaired. They got to go to the chassis shop, engine shop. Takes a while. That's one. You say money. A lot of guys on a fixed income. Some guys got to work and pay bills, and then the money they save. So lack of money, cars hurt. It's two good reasons. I respect those two reasons. What about this other
reason?
Another reason
is too.
What about fear?
If they,
what about fear?
Have you been in a car, been over 150 miles, 160 miles an hour? The average guy, he could talk that stuff in the stands, but getting in the car and going that fast, or even going even faster, hey, it's only a special group of people can do that. Hey, that's just like you can tell a guy in a boxing ring, hit him with the left, hit him with the left, until you get in the ring. That left don't never show up.
So fear would be another factor too, wouldn't it?
Okay. Hey, you know, a lot of people around here talk all that stuff, and they'll tell you in a minute, I ain't getting in there.
You know what, Jake?
Yeah, they'll tell too.
There's something else.
Yeah, tell.
There's something else you haven't. There's something else that could be also. You know, it used to be where everybody was on an even playing field. Some guys have just gotten faster, and other guys are probably just saying, "Man, I ain't stepping it up. I'm not gonna step it up. I'm gonna stay where I'm at and play with these guys down here." So a lot of guys have stepped up their game, where other guys have just stayed the same. So they know they can't compete. So they might not. They'll go watch the races because they know their car's not fast enough. But
so would that
you know because they know they
consider,
can't.
When you consider that still a little bit of fear?
No, I'd say it's financials.
Okay, money.
I think financial and fear.
So what is your definition of fear, Jake? Because you're bringing up the fear. What do you think the fear factor is?
Well, from Melvin, you know, we've been on these shows since 2012 and beyond. And there's a lot of guys I can sense and tell that they're scared of getting beat. They're scared of getting their name called out on the social media, and they're scared of facing somebody saying, "Oh man, you just got your ass whooped. He just gapped you." That fear plays an effect on people.
Yeah, but look at
now,
it like
some
this
people,
too.
Some people can take it. Some people can take it. Like they say, you got to have tough skin in this grudge game. Don't they say that all the time, Corey?
Yeah, but I just got to know, man.
Yeah.
I got to run someone in the other lane. If I lose, I lose. But you know what? I lose on the track, man. I don't lose face in the pit. I lose face. If I go out there and I give it a shot and I lose, get gapped, lose by 3-4 cars, you know what? I'm out there trying to do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be a respect point, a respect for somebody out there for that. Because not everybody's going to win. Someone's got to lose.
At that rate. Somebody.
That's true. It's going to go one way or the other. It's going to be a L or a W.
Yeah, but
it's
look
a
at this. A lot of those guys own cars. They don't even drive them themselves. They scared to get in on the first thing and holler about, I got a driver. They don't spend all this money, but they got a driver. How come they don't drive?
They just ended up spending the money, so they got a car, I guess.
Yeah, you know why they don't drive? Because if they lose, they say, I wasn't driving. I didn't lose.
he lost his money. He was betting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a point.
I mean, but some of the guys, basically those guys can't handle those cars, just like he was just saying a little while ago, just like Mac was saying. It's a difference sitting here talking about, you know, okay, I can run 150 miles an hour. I didn't get in a car. I didn't go run 150 miles an hour. There's a whole big difference right there. You can talk it, but to get in one of those cars and make it go do it is something totally different. And you got to be prepared for that.
That's true. That's true.
And you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, because everybody can't be a racer. And some people just have to stay on the porch. Some people got tough skins where they can go out there and get behind the wheel and run. But you got to know what lane to get in.
Yeah, especially if you get in trouble out there, hell, you can't just jerk no car and think that sucker's going to straighten up. Hell, you're going to be in a world of trouble then, buddy.
Oh, Mac Travis, you was here. Now, I'm not picking with this man because he's a legend. And I'm not saying nothing negative about him, but you was out there, Mac Travis, Melvin was. We was at Black Sunday years ago.
Yeah, when I couldn't
Clint,
get off that
when
wall.
Clint, no, not you. Not you. I'm talking about Clint. Clint went down. Clint went down, and that car flipped, turned, whoop, and Clint ain't been back in that car since.
Well, I told Clint that the crank couldn't take that extra horsepower he's trying to put on it. But he didn't start cranking there. He put 300 nitrous on it. What do you think? It's coming out of there. And that's what happened.
In a hurry.
Ride at, huh? Did it hurt? Yeah, it did some to it. Yeah, it
no,
did
I said
some
it
to
came
it.
Came out in a hurry.
Yeah,
oh,
he
yeah,
said
it
come out in a hurry.
Yes, it did. And sent him across the track like a ping pong ball, one side to the other.
Yes, sir.
He come from the hospital. He looked like he was a mummy. They had him all bagged, finished up.
Yeah, we're not talking about him. We're just saying because of the experience he showed us, you got to have the car right, and you got to be able to handle it. And I thought Mr. Clean would shake it off and get back in it, but
he did shake it off. He went and wrecked another car right after then. He didn't get back in another. See, that's why I was telling you it's different, and some people can drive and some can't. And experience, they say they can do it. Hey, he'll tell you right now, F that car. You don't even want to take it out the trailer unless you want to take it down the quarter.
Yeah, when that big F pop up on your chest instead of that S, they'll tell you without a heartbeat.
Look at Dennis. Look at Big Dennis. He don't get in that Mustang. He put little Dennis in there.
True.
You know, I
it affects you after you have an accident.
Huh?
I had one. It affected me for a long time, but I kept at it. Finally went away.
Yeah. Yeah, when I rode a Chocolate Thunder, I got right in a dragster and ran that. First thing CWM holler about, I didn't know you know how to drive a dragster. I said, hey, it's just a car. If you know what you're doing, if you ain't scared of it, you know, you can drive it. I think you can. If, you know, you can put your mind to it. If you're scared of the car, and you're shaking for it to get in there, don't get in there. You definitely going to have some problems then. But, hey,
what'd you say,
one thing about it, I say, when you have them problems, one thing about it, the guys in the stands can't help you.
Okay.
Do this, do that. He should have did this. When I stood that probe up 12 o'clock high, they told me you should have shifted and everything. It's been a tip over. Yeah. You should have shifted the second gear. You wasn't in there. I'm looking straight up the sky. It's been a roll over. But, hey, you should have did this. I should have. I did what I did. Put the brakes on, put that mother back down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my car, and plus, I knew how to build the car, so whatever I tore up, I fixed. But a lot of guys, you know, they don't, they have to take the car to the chassis shop or whatever, that's a whole lot of money. A lot of guys, you know, they can afford it if they tear something up. That really hurt in their pocket. And plus, you know, they got to pay somebody else to fix it. And where they going to get that money from? That's what they be worrying about. Just when I was at St. Louis, all the guys talking about, oh, we got you, Bo, we got you. When you get back home, we got you. Hey, no, I ain't seen one Bo yet.
Yeah, they was talking that stuff when it was at the track, but then when you get home, see ya.
You got that right. That's all I got to say about, you know, being scared, so.
Yeah, well, those are three factors right there that does get in the way. So what can we do, Mac Travis, Melvin, Corey, KO? What can we do to get these guys a race? What do you think we'll do to get these guys
you
a
can't,
race?
You can't get them. You can't get them. The guys that are scared, you can't get them to
no.
race.
Is that everybody in Detroit, Mac Travis? Is that everybody scared?
No. No, just like he said, though. You can't get them guys to scared to race. What you going to get them? Or what are you trying to do, kill them? Because that's
let's,
not what happened to them.
Okay, they built the car and they go their speed. Well, what's stopping them from doing a little $200 bet?
Shit, they probably spent all their money for
enough.
To get there. Where they going? Yeah, they spend their money right there just to get there. Look what it costs even just to go to a car show. You got to pay them for the gas. You got to pay for the put gas in the car and the race car too and load it up. Hey, some of them ain't got that. Now, if they have a sponsor from you, they might can get that.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna have shake and bake sponsor all these cars, and then we have more racing next week.
Hey, Mike Travis,
Mike's running over there, right, Shake?
If they have me sponsoring, they gonna be backing up in their trailers real fast.
The trailer ain't gonna never get there.
Right. It's like,
wait a minute. Well, let's get the co-host. Let's get the co-host.
Yeah.
The one in California. He got the Sunshine Kid. He got all that money.
Hey.
He can sponsor him all.
Hey, Mac, we got a guy here from California, Tao. He's got a Vega.
Uh-huh.
And we're trying to get him to sponsor us. You know, we're trying to get him to sponsor. Since you came on the show late, he going to sponsor me and Melvin first, and then maybe have enough money to sponsor you. Ain't that right, Tell?
Man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, checks in the mail.
Yeah.
There you go. I just ran down
there
but that's in there. They're coming out. I got a cool mill coming out to you and a cool million coming out to Melvin. No problem.
Okay.
I'm going to give you half of mine, Mac Travis. I'm going to give you half of mine as soon as you get here, Mac, so you're on payroll now.
Yeah. I'll wait till you cash that check, too.
Yeah.
I'm
going to let you know.
Mac's going to play different. Mac's going to play different. He's going to take half of Shake and half from you, and he's going to have the million.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to send him my half as soon as they get here.
The FBI is going to say, where you get that money from? The radio talk. I got it from
tell them WDLB, FM98.
I'm giving the Shake and Bake show number. Dial in. You come on at 8 o'clock, you may be able to get you some money, young man. That's what they do on the Shake and Bake show.
Boy, y'all crazy.
Is Brandon got their motor in the shop?
Who?
Oh, Brandon? You mean Brandon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think it's in there. I think it's been gone. I don't think he got back yet, though.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. They had a good showing in Norwalk yesterday, though. I mean, it's 130 on the track. Boy, it was hot there, boy.
Hot, greasy track. Could you imagine what it's like with the suit on and the helmet on and your gloves on and everything, your whole complete outfit, and it's 130 on the track?
Telling
but 160 in the car.
Sitting in the car. I ain't even in the car.
Have they got that Milan stuff settled yet?
I hear that's supposed to come up in a couple of days for the air or something,
September.
I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
and they
that?
Said that they got them want to make a few passes this year with the track. Then still pick it up for next year. That's a rumor, so I don't know for sure.
What you talking about?
Well, when he announced about the track going to open, he's going to fix it up and everything. But next year, but he want to open, you know, for a couple weekends for this year. That's what I heard. I don't know how true that is. I hope that's
Milan?
True, though.
Well,
yes,
this is what I heard. The rules to have a racetrack in Milan is you got to maintain that track. You got to have a race every year. And for 2021, they have not been open. So the receivership knows this. So somebody's going to have to throw a race at least one time in order to keep the license and everything going for next year. Otherwise, they would have to start all over.
I think that's going to be waived. I think that's going to be waived because of COVID. It's got everything, man. They're out. Well, I shouldn't say it, but out here in California, people are getting checked for being off of work for COVID. And I don't mean from the government. I mean they're getting because it's that stipulation. I don't know. Our governor's a moron, but you know it's so you know you. You could go probably this whole year and not pay rent if you own if you're living in an apartment out here, and guess what? They can't evict you because of COVID. So I don't.
Yeah,
I mean,
think they're doing that here too
in Michigan. Well, then if they're doing that there, then that the track those rules shouldn't be applied either, because it's not that nobody wants to race out there. They ain't letting nobody race out there.
It's the
lawmakers that are making that rule.
They got to have an owner first. We'll see what happens, though.
Yeah.
September coming up. Can't be nothing but
good
news. It's
track.
One thing for sure. It's going to stay a track. It's going to stay a track, so
that's
the best thing right there.
I'm glad about that, man. I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
So they just got to they'll probably come up with something. I'm pretty sure they're going to have at least one race.
Shake, here's the $64,000 question I got to ask. So the Baxters have nothing to do with this now, right?
They still in the ballpark.
We don't know yet.
They still in the ballpark, Tail, because if they sell it to this new owner, this new guy, well, the money that he paid got to give – the Baxters a little money. They got to pay that loan place on 8 Mile and Greenfield, American Jewel and Loan. He gets his cut because Milan borrowed money from him. And then the new owner can go and open up the track and start his new schedule next year. They got to make sure everybody's get paid. This is sort of like probate. Everybody that's got interest in this track has got to get paid. The Baxter's going to get paid.
Once the dude pays,
the loan place.
Once the guy pays for the track, that money gets dispersed however it gets dispersed. That ain't got nothing to do with the new owner.
But this is what they did, though.
That's what the judge
did.
But listen, though, this is why they may still have a hand in it. Okay, we still don't know until September. The judge went up to $3 million for the track. Track was only worth $1.8 million. So the judge told whoever gets this track, it's going to cost you $3 million to get the track. So if the guy come onto the table here in September, which they said he was going to do, if the guy comes to the table with $3 million, the track is his. Everybody else get paid. He on his way to do whatever. But he's going to catch 22. The Baxters could still – but they could still have a handle in this here. If the guy don't come up with the $3 million that track wants, the judge at any time can say, okay, then we're going to do it like this. We'll give it back to the ones that had it, but we're going to monitor the money that y'all making to make sure everybody get paid. So it is not like they all the way out of it 100%. So it's real, real tricky right now. They could walk out of the courtroom with the track right back in their hands, and all of the money that they get, the courts can take the money and pay all the bills off with it, and they still got the track.
So, Melvin, let me ask this question.
Hold on one second, Taylor. Melvin, you say if the Baxters can still be in the ballpark, who's going to pay for the track?
No, if the guy with the don't come up when the September come up here and throw that $3 million up there, if the $3 million don't come up there that they want for the track, the Baxters
right.
could actually end up getting the track back to start paying the bills off with it. Why let it sit there and they
wait
can open up and make money to
wait
pay
minute,
the bills
wait
off?
Wait a minute. The problem was in the beginning the Baxters couldn't pay the loan people the money that they borrowed
right.
from them.
You know why they couldn't pay them, though, so, right? Because they refused to pay them, just like they refused to pay the people who they
right.
bought the track from.
Right. So that's what the problem is.
Once I get your money, I'm not paying you. But part of that you don't understand.
People,
I'll show you. Give me the money.
Let me tell you something. The loan place would be the next person in line to own the track.
That's up to the
and
judge.
But look at it. They owe the loan people. So the loan people have some interest in the track. So if Milan can't pay the loan people back, then the judge is going to turn it over to them.
So Milan never paid the original. Shake. Milan never paid the original people who owned the track their money. The loan guy just somebody
that's
else to fill up and fill up. He's
that's
a fool,
and
they got some more money out of him.
They won't be able to get they hands is washed over. They're gonna end
Shake,
up losing.
This is just me talking. I'm not saying it can happen like that. But it's up to the judge to make that decision. If the money ain't there on the table, he
that,
gotta let it sit there and stay closed
with.
Up. He can make it so it can make money. Right.
That's what
it's
I thought. I agree
judge.
With you. But as far as letting the Baxters now get the track back, that's highly unlikely.
He already. But we gotta remember this. He making it so they could get money out the deal. So why wouldn't he give it back to them?
Because
yeah.
they already.
Why
in
would
the
you?
Hole.
Why would you? But wait a minute. Why would you take the track and then put a price on it so that those people can get some money out of it and they done messed it all up? So why am I looking out for them to get them some money for the because of what they got invested in the track?
Well, they
if they lost it, they shouldn't get anything back.
They got some kind of interest in the track. So instead of let's say they borrowed $300,000 from the loan people. Well, if the track is worth $1.8 million, they're gonna have to sell it. The receiver's gonna sell it to the $3 million man, and then pay the loan people off, and then the Braxton's gonna have something left over.
Exactly, but the
$1.8 million.
He remember the guy putting up $3 million. It's $1.8 million for the track. Okay, so now
mm-hmm.
the track on whoever who owns the track then. The Baxters don't own the track. The people that the Baxters bought the track from probably still got, you know, that $1.8 million going to them. The Baxters probably going to get some out of the deal because they had it all of those years, and then the loan shark going to get the rest of his money back.
Curious to see what this receiver has to say.
So the goal goal is this, Melvin. We got to make sure that this guy has $3 million to get rid of the Baxters. Because that pays off everybody. I
don't
mean,
need them there no more.
Clear, right?
Yeah, we don't need them.
No,
well, they say it's
hell,
sold.
Oh, man.
They said it's sold. The $3 million is supposed to be there. So, you know. And, well, we got a couple more weeks. Next week we'd be in September. So we have to wait and see what date they go to court. And then we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know who the guy is that's buying it, or is that still kept under wraps?
That they keeping that secret.
I haven't
they heard
said his
name.
I'm not for sure. I don't know him. Yep.
Because if he don't have the $3 million, we should start looking for some investors right now that'll invest with him to get to the $3
million. Well, it was one of the guys that sold his business for $101 million. And I don't know if this is going to be the same guy that's wanting to track, because if it's him, he got $3 million. He got $101 million. $3 million ain't nothing out of that.
Yeah, that's the guy that will be buying it. The
right.
guy that sold his business.
So if it's him, it's
million.
A good deal.
That's why he said the track was worth, they were selling a track for $2.5 million, and George raised it up to $3 million to get all the rest of them some extra money, and he owned the track outright.
Uh-huh.
That's going to
be a good thing
name,
right there.
You remember his name, Matt? You remember his name?
I forgot. I heard his name before, but I forgot his name right off the bat.
I thought it was Matt Travis, but I may be mistaken.
Yeah, he has the money to buy the track 3 or 4 times. So we'll know in about a week, less than a week. I know I can't buy it.
Unless
y'all give me some money.
I just want the Baxters out. I just want them out.
I don't blame
them. They're gone. They
are.
I don't think they're coming back. But you got to watch it, though. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors around here, man. You got to watch it. Because, like I said, why would the judge want to look out to make sure they get some money out the deal?
It's the same people who was running Detroit Dragway a long time ago.
Yeah, they ran it all right.
Yeah, well, that's why we ain't got it no more.
Yeah.
That was such a good track.
It wasn't making the owner no money.
Yeah, oh well. How are you going to make him something they put in their pocket?
Well, that's why he said, that's all right. You won't be putting no more in there. Cut him off.
That was one of the fastest tracks, Melvin, I've ever been on. Detroit Dragway.
It was beautiful, man.
Oh, my God. It bit so hard. It bit like Milan, only better, if that makes any sense. It just
you
got to
remember, in those days, it wasn't all that, you know, you got glue from one end to the other end. It bit like that off a burnout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't out there prepping no tracks and all this other stuff, putting out 35 gallons of glue and all this other junk back in the day. Yeah.
Hey Teo, you was in the funny car. You was in the funny car when you was at Detroit Driveway, wasn't you?
Yeah, we were in the alcohol car there. And man, if I didn't have my head back on the headrest, it would have knocked me out when I left. That track bit so hard. It puts you back in the seat. You know, you're trying to press forward and it's just eating so hard that it just, that was a good track, man. That was a sad day when I heard that place shut down.
Well, hopefully we have Old Milan open back up.
Yeah, and that's a good track too. That's a good track. I told you,
yeah, real good track.
That track. It is a real good track.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just everything that's there, man. I think you have the motocross. Didn't you have a motocross track at the end of the track on the left?
In the back over there on the
that
left hand side back there.
Man, you had everything there.
They're talking about they had a pine back there. Oh, at one time they were talking about they had a pine back there. They used to do boat racing there. Like, what boat racing? It's a pond back there, but they didn't do no boat racing in it.
I bet you go deep enough back in that pond, I bet you find Jimmy Hoffa in there somewhere.
Oh,
no, Jimmy Hoffa downtown. He in the Renaissance. He's a part of the basement in the Renaissance. That's a Jimmy, huh? Hey, they were pouring the Renaissance when he disappeared. You want him? Go tell the Renaissance down. You'll find him in the basement.
Go down there late at night. You might can hear him crying.
Help me!
Right.
Help me!
You gonna be hearing beating in that 55-gallon drum. Is what you gonna be hearing?
He up under the Renaissance. That's why y'all ain't found him.
All right, y'all take care. I'm gone.
All right, Travis. Appreciate you, Mike.
Go on and dream before I come over there and steal them from you. All right.
Oh, my Travis.
So you got to wait till September. I'm beginning of September to find this shit out.
Yeah,
man. A couple more weeks, man. It's worth the wait. You know, it'll be here in a minute. And the guy may even, and a judge may even give him a chance to, you know, throw a race on for the new owner so he can have one race for this season. Who knows? He may open it up for a couple weekends for us.
Oh, man, I hope that race
nothing
is
big.
Huge.
Just go there and test and tune.
Yeah, just have a test and tune. Let everybody come out, man, and get that rubber back on there, even if it's for just to kind of know what kind of people are coming out and what kind of cars are coming out and make sure you got that whole place all done up.
He'll fill them staging lanes up real fast. Let them talk about they can come around there and race.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that
you
was
like,
a,
welcome
that
back,
was
Carter.
That was an IHRA track at one time, wasn't it?
It was NHRA,
or
too.
It was NHRA, huh?
The last one.
That was
the
part. Now, this out of history went now. And when it was IRHA track, they was ready to pull out when he first bought the track. And he had to file bankruptcy way back in the 90s. He bought it in 89, 91. He was filing bankruptcy because all of those guys pulled out of it for some reason. They stopped having a Super Chevy meet there and everything, man. They took everything away from them. But they wasn't doing the right thing.
Melvin, was that track Detroit Dragway was running?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like the primo track, you know. It was so damn far away from us in Detroit to go to Milan. Hell, we stayed in Detroit Drag. I went to Milan in 76 or something. And I thought I was – man, it took me forever to get out there coming from Detroit versus just – running around a corner going to Detroit Dragway.
Yeah.
I ain't coming back out here no more.
That was right smack dag. It was right in the middle of smack dab of everything there.
Yeah.
That's what I was telling Shake. I remember a couple guys, I want to say it was probably my first year out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys took me to the street races, and they're just right down. I don't remember exactly, but it was maybe 10 minutes from the track.
Yeah, they right off of 75 right there.
Man, it was like
you probably was over there on Telegraph.
Thinking that's the name, but I'm just not 100% sure, man. That was back in 83, 84.
He was probably Telegraph. They did a lot of that on Telegraph.
It honestly, guy, it wasn't but 10 minutes away from the track.
Telegraph?
Man.
I'm quite sure that's the street you was on.
All night long.
Cars everywhere, cruising and everything.
Oh my God, everywhere. They were coming out, and I was just like, yeah, I might miss next round tomorrow, man, because I was, you know, I was betting, you know, on cars I didn't even know. I was just won a little, lost a little, but still, man, I was having fun.
That's the way to do it.
It was. Yeah, you know what, and that's what I tell everybody. See, when we first got the car done, it was the week before Pink's All Out, and the car wasn't going straight. And this guy, Ed Conrad, has been friends with us out here for a while. He came over and straightened out the car. Well, he was supposed to be out at Pink's All Out, but he was testing his car that Thursday night at Irwindale, and he was in the burnout box and had a heart attack. His foot went to the ground, car went into the K-rail, and it just turned into the K-rail. It was sitting there full throttle, and they had to run down there and hit the switch to shut it off, and he was already gone. They pulled him out of the car, and they couldn't even save him. Right when we was rolling into Vegas is when we got the call that he passed away. But he was actually from Detroit, and he used to tell the tale. He was born and raised in Detroit as a kid. And he told me, if you want to see some fast cars, you need to get out to Detroit. He goes, because you're going to see some of the fastest cars you've ever seen. And I smiled. I'm like, dude, this is California. What are you talking about? He goes, if you ever get the chance, go. When he passed away, I said, you know what? When the opportunity came up to come out there, we went.
Mm-hmm.
We went. I went and shoot. And I know that day, Melvin, when I was out there, when I met you, I know all the cars weren't there because
mm-hmm.
of that. It kind of rained, and but the cars that were out there were insanely fast. I was just like, it wasn't a line, man. They're beautiful, and they're fast. Out here, a good paint job is a smooth primer job on your car. That's a good paint job out here because everybody's racing all the time. The cars that I saw out there how fast they were. It's like, I hope I'm not blowing up anybody's game, but you guys got a lot of fast cars out there. I tell everybody. And I always tell them this, too, and Shake, you know, I tell when I talk to people out here, hey, talk about going back to race Detroit, I always tell them, don't race the TV Detroit. Race to the Detroit that's not on TV, because that's where all the fast cars are. Those are guys that don't want to be on TV because they don't want to know how fast they are. I said, and that's just my opinion. I mean, I'm not trying to offend nobody, saying anybody's car slow, but I've seen, just being at the street races out there back in the 80s and then going back out there, you know, and seeing it all again, it's just like, damn. You know, the TV guys are fast. I give them that, but they're not.
It's a different era for our TV guys, you know. They got some, they fast on TV, but they ain't fast enough to win that event that's on TV, you know. They just got a little slot on there just to get a little air time. They ain't finna win no event. They ain't won nothing unless somebody crashed or whatever and then they got away or whatever. But they just, like I say, they needed some more cars, so they just threw Detroit in there with them guys in there. They stayed on the Internet enough to get accepted, and that's what they did, you know.
But if they went to, like the real cars, I shouldn't say the real cars, but you know what I'm saying, Melvin. It's like the cars that the guys that I've seen, that I watched going down the track and miling and stuff, and those guys, they got their hustle going on. They don't want to be no national. It kills their game on the street.
Yeah. Different breed of guy, you know. They more, they just rather just do one grudge race and win the money that the rest of the guys chasing all night long and stuff like that, you know.
Yep. Things wear and tear. It's almost like they're bracket racing on the street. We got to keep going rounds and rounds and rounds instead of just getting after it and just go, you know, get your one hit and get your money and have a nice day.
Hey, Brent, your mic is open. What up, Brent?
Not much. What's going on, guys?
How you doing, Brent? Man? How you doing?
That's the famous Oldsmobile. Man, the fastest Oldsmobile in the world on the phone. Man.
Watch out. The Oldsmobile on the premises.
Yeah.
How you doing, bro, Brent? Running. How you doing, Brent?
Not too bad. Not too bad, guys.
Okay.
How's everybody else doing tonight?
We're all right, Brent.
Doing good, man. It's cooling down out here.
There you go.
I just said it's cooling down.
Get him, Brent. My hand is hot. Get him, Brent.
It's cooling down. It was 78 today.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little warmer out here. Got hurricane coming that way, do you, Tao, or is it going to miss you?
Oh, heck no, man. It don't cross the Mississippi, come out this way. We just have to deal with earthquakes.
Right.
Yeah, I was still down there tearing it up, though.
Yeah, man, it's bad. And, you know, down Louisiana, New Orleans ways, that's even worse because they're below sea level. Man, that water ain't got to come up very high to put that place underground. Some crazy stuff, man.
Well,
they got a name for this one?
Ida.
It's a Ida, isn't it? They're an I right now, so it's Ida.
Ida. Yeah, Ida. She down there tearing it apart, too, right now.
The next one will start with a J.
Ida.
How they do it.
Yeah, and from what I understand, they go down the alphabet, and whoever finds it or sees it, picks up, starts watching it, they get to name it. That's how they get all these names.
Wait a minute, you say what now? Whoever finds
that's what
it.
I don't know if it's true or not. That's what I heard. Because, you know, the weather forecast, whoever identifies it as a storm, a hurricane, and you know, if they're the first ones to see it, they're the first ones that get to say and if it turns into nothing, then you don't hear about that. But until it does.
Well, this was supposed to go up into Louisville and Mobile, Biloxi, and she traveling right on up going out into the East Coast. Philadelphia is supposed to go all up into there.
Yeah, go all the way up to,
supposed to go right up and then go out. I know they're going to have a lot of water because it started early this afternoon and it's still going.
Well, it was hit and miss here in Detroit and Michigan area. It was dry early this morning and then late on in the afternoon it came down like out there in Michigan Avenue area, 94. Then it stopped, dried up, and it came back down right before the show started. And now it stopped again. So I bet you by daylight
it's in New Orleans right now. It's hammering New Orleans.
Is it?
Damn.
Yep.
You know, we don't stop pissing off Mother Nature, man. She's gonna unleash on everyone.
You ain't lying, Tail. You ain't lying. Did you hear that they had printed $1 trillion just in this year alone? Awesome.
They printed?
They printed $1 trillion just this year alone.
You know, man, that's
giveaway
to be a secret, man, because you guys aren't supposed to know where I'm getting all my money from, okay? I got some of those plates.
Well, I keep my mouth
shut.
We know he ain't went to work since
COVID been around.
Oh man, we've been working every day, baby. Cargo can't rest. We got labeled essential workers.
But the eye of the storm right now is in New Orleans.
Oh. Man, does that mean they got a whole nother half to go? Shit.
Well, if it starts coming this way, Melvin, we just go over there to Tail's house and stay with him until it weathers the storm.
Yeah, bring your flip flops, tank tops, and shorts. That's all you're going to need out here.
Yeah, hey, probably have an earthquake as soon as we get that shake. Might as well just stay here.
Oh, man, don't bring that.
I'm breaking ass.
I'm
going to fall off the nose while we out there.
Soon we get off the plane and the plane take off, we look back and we, oh, man, the airport's sinking.
Fall off in the ocean.
I'd be getting more.
Well, it catch on fire, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fires don't give me that.
How far?
More up north, man.
We got
what far away from the fires do you be?
Oh, they're usually a couple hours away. And
that's
I'm where
north,
I'm at, Melvin.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the Port of L.A. That's San Pedro, that's where I'm at. So if it gets too close, I can go to the beach, put my feet in the water, wait it out.
Okay, Big Mark, your mic is open. Come on in.
Gentlemen, what's going on, man?
What's
going on, Big Mark?
Oh, nothing much. I just tuned in for a couple minutes and kind of doing some things. I just wanted to support the show and say hi to you guys. And I got a question for Melvin and Shaker. Are y'all coming to the race this weekend? I'm going to see you guys out there.
What's race this
weekend?
Big
Mark. Vaughn's race.
Vaughn's race at 41.
Oh, Chicago. I don't think I'm going to be able to make that one. That's the holiday weekend too, ain't it? Next weekend.
Yeah.
I ain't going to be, you know, Caleb and I'm having a car show this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
I ain't going to be able to make it, Mark. I'll probably do drag race.
Okay, now you know Sham got one coming up too, September 17th and
18th. 17th and 18th, yeah, we announced that on the show earlier.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to make that one, but I definitely know I'll be at drag.
Okay, well, you guys, Vaughn is supposed to have a lot of lock-ins. It's supposed to be a real good race, so we're going to see. We're going to see. I'll be there. So
I heard, man. You're going to have some corned beef sandwich for me and Melvin?
If y'all coming, I'll go and get the corned beef and the rye bread and the mustard and have it all ready for you.
That's all they need, too.
Hey,
you just hit it right on the head.
Hey Brent, you want to go? Corey, you want to go, too? Since he's treating.
Yes, sir.
Come
what
on,
you got
hold your
going?
Hand up, Brent. We ain't had no topic for today, Big Mark. We had one guy wanted to know some information about phasing the distributor and stuff, but he took his hand out. He fell off. But anybody familiar with phasing the distributor, you might want to – you're more than welcome to spit it out.
Okay. So what I heard you guys mention a little something about Mylan. So have they come to a conclusion? I came in late, so I didn't. I'm kind of lost.
September is our big day. We'll know with everything going on here in a couple of weeks with it.
Okay.
Who the owner is?
Yeah.
When he gonna open it up? And everything he gonna do to it? And if he gonna get a chance to let us race on it? This year, before this year is over and everything. We'll know something here in a couple of weeks.
Okay, that sounds good. And owner, you mean new owner, right?
Yeah, right. Brand new owner, yeah.
There you go,
yep.
There you go.
Brand new owner.
I know what you're saying, Big Mark. I know what you're saying.
You guys got anything going on at 131 or Lapeer?
No, they just said something here yesterday up at Lapeer.
Okay.
Matter of fact, one of the Chicago guys was here. What's his name? With the Camaro? With the green car? With the green Camaro? With Zay? Zay was there yesterday. Up at, yeah.
They said
they had a nice little show. I don't know if he raced nobody or not.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't see no video. I wasn't there. I didn't see any videos or hear any lock-ins with him or anything.
Yeah. Hey, Melvin, while I got you on the phone, man, how is the missus doing, man? I never did hear anything else after, you know, when she was in the hospital.
She's doing real good, man. We had a knee replacement and everything, man. She's doing real good.
I'm glad to hear it, man.
Yeah. Doing real good.
That's good news, man.
That's good news. I should have said a couple prayers for you guys when you were going through the thing, your difficulties, but I'm glad everything worked out.
Oh, yeah. Man upstairs taking care of us. We making it on through. We have rough days, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yep. Hey, well, I ain't going to keep you guys on.
How you doing, Big Mark?
Same thing. I got good days and bad days. You know, I got still some issues. I got to see these doctors but I'm hanging in there, you know. Every day I wake up is a good one, so I can't get mad.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, you asking about everybody else, I got to make sure we ask about you because, you know, you're part of the family too.
I appreciate that. And if I can say, like I always say, man, you guys, if you haven't had your colonoscopies, man, don't waste no time to get them now. And I know in here in Chicago, they up the age now. They want you to take it earlier now because it's going up early in people. So, you know, like I say, it's a silent killer, man. If you feel something wrong, they say 9 times out of 10 it's too late. So, get yourself checked out.
Okay. I found it. It was Brent, you got your TV on. We can hear the noise on your TV, Brent. Tell First Lady to go in the kitchen and watch TV.
You tell her.
Hey,
First Lady.
You
tell
her that.
Yep.
Go ahead. I dare you tell her.
First Lady,
you front and center.
Call her, come to the phone. All right, we can tell you long time folk.
You knew who had the remote, didn't you, Shay?
Right, right. The lady of the house, First Lady.
She says she don't want
to
hear this garbage.
Oh boy! So how your car
that
coming,
storm
Brent?
Is going to hunt it.
Good, yeah, we had a good turnout down there at Brian Davis's race, and then down there at 131 last week. I can't complain, bud. I just keep getting better and better, so that's all I can ask.
How many rounds did you go in the shootout?
3.
Okay,
I made
it
to the third round. I had to get up against Silver Fox, man. That car ain't no joke. I wouldn't have nothing for Silver Fox, you know. But hey, we got out there and we did our thing, you know. And we're getting there. We're getting there. We're learning. Real good event.
Okay.
I'm starting to get the hang of them radials a little more. Car hooked real good over there, so. We made a few adjustments and we lost it for a minute, but we figured out what we done, you know. So that's all you can do is keep testing and learning. But it was a pretty nice event.
Hey, Brent. Next week we're not gonna ask you how you coming with the car because I think it's starting to scare Melvin a little bit. So. We're gonna leave you alone after this week.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll be fear in me now. Ooh-wee.
We'll be over at Onondaga on the 11th. We're going to run that G-Body shootout. So we'll be over there at Onondaga. They put on a nice show that Detroit Hood TV.
Detroit Hood.
They do a real good job over there, man. It's a nice show that they put on. So we've been going to that and we having fun and
So we
how you liking the Onondaga track so far?
I like it. It my car hooked really good on it there, the last one, and like I say, we got a couple things figured out, and so we're rolling pretty good now. We putting down some real good times. I got no complaints, so we're gonna see. We hoping that we got something for him this time.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
We're going for the bounty. We're going for the bounty.
Yeah, I ain't gonna keep asking you this because I can see Melvin Knees over here trembling and carrying on. So he gonna call it quick.
Yeah, she's feeling in the phone.
Keep improving. Watch, he gonna call it quit in a minute.
Yeah. Then you gotta wake up. And I'll be back.
No, we're just having fun.
That's what it's all about, Brent.
Just having fun.
What's
his name? What about the boy that's got the shop up there and they had the oil pump shaft and they had the big black oil pump shaft. Did he get his truck running? Was it a truck he got or a car?
A car, Rich. He was on before you came on. You didn't hear?
No, I didn't hear.
He was on right before Kenny Osborne. Well, actually, he was listening to Kenny Osborne.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he got it running. And then then they start having other little small problems start getting in the way. You know how it go, man. But they working the kinks out of it. They fixed the oil pump thing, and now they having some old issues. And little bitty starting to get in the way. But it's starting up, and he says it's sucking up a lot of gas. He says he went through 7 gallons of gas fuel so far, and he ain't hit the streets yet. What did he say, Teo? He went through 7 gallons or seven...
I don't think he went through seven gallons.
Seven cans, and that's a lot of fuel. And he ain't went out and made a pass yet. Yep, that was Rich, ma'am.
That's the fun stuff for racing.
Yeah. Keep working at it until you get it right. Once he get it right, he's going to be hard as hell to shut up, man.
But even when you get it right, you never leave it alone. You still try to tweak a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's going to try to a little bit more. Hey, Mel.
Go ahead, Shake. I hear you.
You heard Tony Brown knock dog off.
Yeah, I know he knocked him off. I saw it. Knocked him off good, too.
And
yep.
Then he turned
around.
He's
been on the road there lately.
Tony Bryan raised somebody else and then ended up losing. Who was that other person he lost to?
He ran his old car, that old Malibu. I can't think of what the name of it is right now. Every time I go to talk about that car. It was one of them Malibus he had, but
Candy
he backfired.
Candy Crusher.
He backfired on the starting line though. Same thing like he did when he was over there at 42, in the little white car tune up they had in there. Mm-hmm. It went trying to lose it backfired. Never even moved. Yeah.
Hey, Tao.
Ah.
Cause of that backfire. Give me your opinion.
Oh,
when we see flames shooting all up. Yeah, we see flames shooting out a mile away right before they take off. What do you think causes that backfire?
That could be a couple. I mean, shoot, timing.
One.
If they don't flow the nitrous and the pump, could be another. I mean, you got all kinds of headaches when you got to start dialing that in. And then multiple units on top of that. You know, the other thing, too, is, who was it, Melvin, who blew the hood when I was there in Milan? It went over the fence, over the building, into the staging lanes. Do you remember that?
I don't remember
that?
Who that was.
That wasn't that guy. That was somebody from Michigan. It wasn't nobody from Ohio.
It was at Milan when this happened.
I remember that, though.
It blew that hood from the starting line all the way back into the staging lanes, right to the front of the staging lanes.
I can't remember that, but I can't remember which car that was.
It was a primer hood, maybe it was just a gray car. I don't remember. But, yeah, so, and I think he had a leaking solenoid is what triggered that one, they said. I don't know how
he
would have done it. But I remember that thing blew, too. That thing blew. And, but, yeah, there's all kinds of things. I think.
Timing is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
The timing go down too low. You got a low timing, and you hit that button, and it retards that timing before the nitrous get there. So now I'm retarded, and then here come the nitrous, and it's too low. So you got one way to go, and that's back up through the carburetor. It backfired, and then that's all she wrote. So a lot of other reasons too, but that's one of the main thing is. Go ahead.
Some people try to hit that nitrous button right at idle without kicking the motor up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it.
That can do it too.
There's a few things, but,
A floating valve will cause it, too, because that valve is supposed to keep that nitrous and spark in the cylinder. But if it escapes and go to that intake, boom, it'll find its way right out of there, and you'll see it outside.
You'll have other problems than just it coming through the carburetor. On that one.
Sure will.
But, it's still like anything, same thing with the blower. You got to make sure you got the right shit in there. Next thing you got too much and you're lifting heads and coolant's coming all out of, all off the, what you call it and everything. So, it happens, but I think the timing issue is probably the biggest. It goes back to your last show. Well, how good is a tuner?
That wasn't one of those shake and bake tuners, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Take a good tuner. Come on, man. He's a good tuner.
Well, I won't be doing that no more.
Shake a good tuner. They just ain't fast, right, Shake?
Like Kenny Osborne said, you tap a lot, you mess up a lot, you learn a lot.
Exactly.
Buy the book.
And don't eat the book. Read it.
Hey, Tao, when Mr. Osborne said he went to Roy Hill School, I thought about your boy.
Oh, no, don't.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I thought about your boy.
How did he become my boy? How did he become my
boy? Oh, man. He was born in the family, you know. He didn't marry into the family. He was born into the family.
did I have a field day with
him? So, in other words, he's a made man, right? He's a made man. So.
Yeah, he's a made man. He's in there. What'd you say, Tell?
I said, remember the hard time I was giving him? Wait, you went to a school to learn how to race? You couldn't figure it out on your own? Yeah, that's what I'm going to teach you.
They had to teach him how to put the key in the ignition.
Too funny, man.
Oh, boy.
Does he still have that school down in Florida?
I don't know. He probably do. I don't know. You have to ask your boy Zeke about that.
Oh, man, I don't know. The bracket racing king of Florida.
Oh, Zeke.
Zeke, you know Gigantor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he won a race this weekend. They went out of town. I don't know what track they was at, but it was a big grudge race they was in. And he pulled off one. So you know the 12 o'clock show tomorrow, we'll be on Facebook. They're going to be on there clowning.
Mm-hmm.
12 o'clock news. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, man. Hold on. Let me call this.
Yeah, Dog was upset when he got his head knocked off by Tony.
Oh, was he?
Where'd they race at?
Yeah, he was really upset. House of Hook. And then, boy, you should have heard him when Tony Carr backfired. First thing he said, Dog, man, he done blew up. I'm so glad he blew up. He was just screaming and jumping up and down like, oh, he mad now. So he mad because, you know, Tony ran up in him. Put a nice gap on him, too.
Wow.
Nice gap.
What card?
Man, Corn, you know, Quarantine got beat up yesterday.
After tone, record message.
What'd you say, Mel?
I said your boy Quarantine got beat up yesterday. Book.
Oh, not Quarantine.
Yeah. Yep, got knocked off.
Hey, Melvin, what's Willie Dog driving nowadays? He's still in that truck?
He's got a Mustang. No.
Oh, okay.
He got a Mustang, about a 80. No, I ain't going to say 80. Maybe a 90. Not a 90. Maybe a 2000 series Mustang, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Run pretty good. We just couldn't handle Tony Bynes the other night. I said he was supposed to lock it back in and do it again the next day, but I didn't hear anything if they done it again or not. So Bynes, he on the roll. Locking them in, lining them up, win or lose, he right back.
Does Tony still have, like, multiple cars, or he just campaigned in one car?
No, he got multiple cars. He got Trouble, and then he got another little car they call, what they call that thing? That white Mustang?
I don't know what the name of it is.
I forget all them boys' names.
Where's
Ryan?
Hold on.
Black in it.
Brother, I know. Your mic is open.
Yeah, how y'all fellas doing? I'm moving around a little late the last couple of weeks here. Been doing a little things and running from this place to that place. But how everybody doing?
Oh, we good, bro.
Doing good.
We good. We're doing good, man. Just chilling.
Yeah, I've been listening in, you know, but I haven't been able to, you know, pick the phone up and get on like I want to get on. I've been hearing a lot of different things. I heard Melvin get himself, you know, expressed it last weekend, and a couple other people get themselves expressed it. And sometimes, you know, it's got to happen like that. Tim House and, you know, a few other people. But, you know, what this all boils down to, I study, like I said, all this stuff all the time because I pay attention. What it all boils down to, people got to watch what they're saying to each other and the way they're trying to trick each other. Because everybody going to come to their boiling point sooner or later. And once they come to their boiling point, they're going to explode. And they're going to have some things that get off of their chest. You know, just like I listened to Melvin. Melvin been holding some things back a long time. And, I mean, he still got some more. You know, when the right people, you know, line themselves up in front of him, he's going to blast them. And, I mean, I seen that to happen last weekend. You know, and Tim House the same way. I mean, they're going to blow. So a lot of times people like them, they got to watch what they get themselves involved in, too, because they got a lot to lose. You know, they got their home. They done built stuff all their life, and it only take that one split second for you to lose everything. That's what I'm coming here to, you know, to say. You don't want to lose everything for just that one stupid, simple moment. You understand what I'm saying? And that one stupid, simple moment, I mean, it's right there waiting for you, everybody. It's just like a four-way stop. And nobody want to, you know, sacrifice. And you saying, well, I got the right of way. And then you go out there, instead of waiting there 1 second, getting a crash. Now you got to wait for the police, got to wait for the insurance company, got to put your car inside of, you know, to get it fixed. And then possibly you might be in the hospital. Then possibly you might have gotten a fight. That one split second when you could just let that knucklehead go, you wouldn't do it. And then you done lost everything for that one knucklehead. So sometimes you got to set back. You got to be careful. You got to pay attention to what you get yourself into. You can't be that brave soldier these days. It ain't no such thing as that brave soldier these days. It's that smart soldier where just go ahead and let, you know, the wind go by, and then I go out there instead of letting all my stuff blow away, put it out in the yard, and I know there's a big storm coming. So I'm not going to keep talking y'all to death. I got plenty more to say, and I did have a topic for the night, and the topic is tricks. And the biggest trick I heard this week is this. If I sit there and tell you, come on, let's lock this race right here in, and I tell you that we're going to race for $1,000, and we get up there and line up for this $1,000 and say, look, we're going red, and then I come back and tell you, say, for $5,000 more, well, look, I'll beat you to the eighth of the mile, and then we didn't say, well, you can't red light. Because you didn't think about like that. So you bet the $5,000 more, I wouldn't beat you to the eighth of the mile, and I take off on a red and get to the eighth of the mile just to get that $5,000. We only bet $1,000 for the race. I ain't worrying about $1,000. So you just got to pay attention to all the tricks out here. They're little simple things, you know. So I'm going to let you all go for a minute, but, you know, that's what I have for tonight, and I got some more, you know, but I'm going to listen to y'all.
Oh, you lost me there. You lost me there. Repeat that bet again. You say that you're running for $1,000.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to use me and you. Now, me and you sitting there, we betting $1,000 for the race, right?
Gotcha.
I'm going to race you for $1,000, you know? And then after we line the race up and I say, look, well, for this $1,000, you cannot, you know, leave before the green light. Even though if I gave you the back tire or whatever, I just tell you that you can't leave before the green light. Then I come back and I stiff this other part with you. Tell you, say, look, for $2,000, I'm going to be in front of you at the 8th of the mile. But see, I set you up to get extra money from you. And the reason why I set you up, because you took that $2,000 bet saying that I'm not going to be in front of you at the 8th of the mile. But then, how I'm going to get in front of the 8th of the mile, I'm just going to come up there and make my burnout and just take right off to the 8th of the mile. So I won you $2,000 because I'm going to beat you to the 8th of the mile because we didn't stipulate the red light. Now, did you get it?
Yeah, but you know what, though?
when you lock in the rates the first time, and then you agree to it, that's the rates. And if you come up to me with other stips, all I've got to say is, nope, we ain't doing that, because we already got our race locked in. Once the race is locked in, you can't start adding stuff to it. Unless,
well, that's how people trick me.
That, but no. There's no trickery. I'm saying that if you got that race that you just said right now and it's locked up for that $2,000, that $1,000, and you want to do something else for a red light, or you can't leave on the green, nope. That's not involved in
that. I'm not going
to
tell you that.
Oh, I'm going to say nope.
I'm not going to tell you that.
What's that?
I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to leave on the red light. I'm just going to bet you that over $2,000 that I will beat you to the eighth. But I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to come up there for red light.
But if you leave on the red light, you lose.
Well, we didn't stipulate that on the second $2,000 that we bet. I just bet you that I'm going to beat you to the eighth.
But if you red light, you lose.
But see, you didn't listen at the whole race. The whole race was the first time that you can't leave on the green for the $1,000. But when I bet you the $2,000 that I'm going to beat you to the eighth, we didn't stipulate nothing but the red light. So
okay,
I just come right up there. So the whole thing, I'm just trying to trick you into getting that money. When? It wasn't the $2,000.
Okay, but what I'm
saying, I ain't
running
with the $1,000. I lost $1,000, yeah.
What I'm saying is that the $2,000 is another race. That's not the same race, because I wouldn't agree to it because our race is already locked in.
Well,
if you want to race.
You listening. Everybody ain't listening to that.
Oh, I'll be quiet then.
Yeah, see, you were listening. You was listening. But see, when I come up there and say like me and Melvin or me and Jake were racing, and I come up there and tell them, say, you know, we're going to race for $1,000, and then we stipulate everything for that $1,000. Or you can't leave, you know, on the green or whatever, like until the green light come up. And then after that race right there is already processed, then you know how people come up with the side bets. And I bet you, the same guy that I'm racing, that I'm going to be at the eighth of the mile in front of you for another $2,000. And you call a bet, you thinking it's still the same race. You didn't get the stiffs in there. I just say I'm going to be in front of you at the eighth of the mile. But it's for more money. That's just to set you up to get your money. Now I'm just trying to sit here and tell you what we got to watch.
Exactly.
Well, somebody else might want to talk about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you stipulating the killing. You stipulating the killing is what you stipulate. That kid.
Yeah, that's kid.
I said you stipulating the killing. That's what you stipulating.
Well, it happens a lot.
Because what you're trying to do, you're trying to take something from me, and that's not going to happen.
But I'm just trying to tell you what they're doing these days. Some people, they're playing a lot of tricks. I'm just trying to tell you what some of these tricks are. That's all I'm just saying. I'm not saying what I'm going to take from nobody. I'm just saying so we don't get caught in some of these tricks. That's one of the latest ones that I know, you know, people be trying. That's all. It's a double bet in one, but then they didn't stipulate everything. That's all I'm just saying. They're putting two races into one.
What's up with you, kid?
Nothing much. Shake, what's happening with you?
I'm good. I hear Vaughn having a race this coming weekend. I ain't going to be able to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah. I ain't going to be able to make it, bro.
What's good
I got
with
some,
you,
kid?
What's going on, Teo? How you been, brother? Oh, pretty good. Yeah, man, that's killing talk with Unknown talking about. Cause like I said, you trying to take something. You ain't goddamn trying to race. You trying to take something. Just strong arm robbery and shit.
That's why I'm really just sitting here just telling you to pay attention. Not you per se, but whoever's not paying attention, you got to pay attention to what people are saying. They'll tell you one thing in one sentence for one race, but then they'll try to pull another race right on top of that race for more money to get you, to set you up. That's all I'm just saying. That's what I watch for.
Yeah.
Then they'll use people on the side to bet that money too, you know, a lot of time, just to set you up. And it's just like they done made a mistake and make that red light. As long as they get to that point before you do,
you lose your money. Because you bet that the next person will get that, you know. That's all.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of these doggone tricks, man. Why can't it just be like it was in the old days, just a little simple bet, a simple race, and have fun at it with all this trickery stuff,
that's
man.
That's why you
got to
learn. That's why you got to learn.
Yeah, but Jake, back in the day when you raced it for $20 or $50, you don't think about it. But when you race it for $25, $3,000, yeah, you want to make sure you got all your bases covered.
Right. Yeah, well, we seen that a few months ago, and I'm kind of tired of it. This trickery stuff is just for the birds.
That's why you got to put them out there. You got to put it out there. As soon as you heard, the only way to stop it is to put it out there. If you don't put it out there, then somebody you love or you like or that's all right with you is going to get tricked. That's why I be throwing the stuff out there.
Here's my take. Now, you guys call it trickery. I call it hustling. And if you take all the hustling out of grudge racing, you ain't going to have any grudge racing. That's part of the game is the hustling. You want to race, but you know you don't have enough to beat that guy. Well, you got to try and put the game into your advantage. And that's the hustle part.
Well, don't you think what Unknown just said was going a little overboard? If they did that to you, wouldn't that be a little overboard?
Well, okay, if we're talking about me, once my race is locked in, I ain't allowing nothing else in.
Exactly.
That's just how it is. So, you know, now we're talking about me. We're talking about me.
Yeah.
So I'm not speaking for anybody else. I'm just speaking for me. If my race is locked in for that $1,000 and we leave it on the green, red lights, you know, whatever, that's the race. I wouldn't allow anything else.
But Shake,
for me.
Yeah.
Shake, weren't you just talking earlier tonight why we don't have no racing going on? Why?
Yeah,
and what you was talking about earlier?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason right there. What we talking about right now is what keep a lot of guys just sit on the porch. And we ain't got time to come out there to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a little bit too much for me right there. You know what I'm saying? So that go where your racing is right there. A lot of your racing is right there. You don't know what you're going to get involved in. You know?
Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go to college and learn all of these tricks that's out here. And you know, by the time you get finished, what I'm trying to learn, what about a fucking trick, man? I didn't spend all this money on my car just looking for a clean race, and then all this shit come up, then you wonder why ain't no racing going on. There you go right there. Y'all keep talking. You'll see how come we ain't got nothing going on.
Okay.
Good.
A lot of people
fall prey to a goddamn trick.
See, like I said, if we set up our race to run a eighth of a mile. That's it. Anything else, I'm not trying to listen to. You can't tell me that, you know, something's going to happen at the 670 mark or the 1,000-foot mark. I give a fuck about that. All I'm interested in is what's happening from goddamn 0 to 660. All that other shit you talk about, you can wipe your ass with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that hard.
So, just by talking to you guys today, we came up with why people ain't racing. Number one reason, money. Another reason was their cars is hurt. We understand that. Sometimes cars get stuck in chassis prison. Another reason was fear. And, you know, some people scared of the YouTube exposure and people laughing at them because they got their butt kicked. The other reason, the fourth and final reason, is trickery. They don't want to get caught up in no trickery stuff. Oh, man,
that
y'all
even
doing
could
real
be number
good.
One.
Y'all doing real good today, boy. Trickery.
Now, the next question I got for you. Now, how many times this year have people been caught up in some type of trick?
Oh.
That it ain't felt the way that it's supposed to fall,
or the DP man gave the money to the wrong guy and claimed he didn't know how this supposed to win or whatever. How many times this has happened this year? So if you don't keep on talking about it and bring it out there, then what's going to keep happening?
It doesn't happen in a lot of cases, but you cannot get caught up in the heat of the moment. That's where you fuck up at. You get caught in the heat of the moment.
Just like you just said, you got so much you got to lose. You got to make that split decision on whether you want to lose all or whatever you going on in your life over this dumb shit right here. You got to make that decision. And my decision is to walk away. I'll see y'all later. You know what I'm saying? Those decisions you have to make. You don't want to make that wrong decision and, hey, you may not come home. Not going to jail. You may not. You could get killed. Anything can happen, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. But, kid, now you got it right here on the show right here. If you put a race out there and put it recorded, and still, I have seen guys go to the track and they'll put it on this phone or on their live stream, and then they go there and the race still don't come out. You stiff everything that you want, and the money still go in different hands. That ain't talking about one person. I've seen it happen several times. So what I'm saying is what you say and who you're dealing with. That's how this works. That's why you got to learn it. If you learn it and you want to be out there racing, you learn a lot of it, then you can, you know, make it plain and clear. Look, I'm not going for this bullshit here. This is the way it's going. Because it happens. You sit there and say, look, we're going on the green. And still they find some kind of other way to get the money away to somebody else.
So can I ask this question? And I just want to throw this out. And I'm sure we've all done this at one time. I know I'm guilty of it, probably doing it a few times.
Somebody got some noise in the background.
What's the difference between the trickery that you're talking about and me rolling up to the track and going to hit up somebody who I know I got covered by five or six cars, he's just a duck, and I lock in with him? Ain't that kind of trickery if he locks in back with me? Ain't I am suckering him into something? You know, I get in the back tire. I know I got this guy covered. As long as all I got to do is leave, and I got him covered. Isn't that trickery? Knowing I'm the fastest car and I'm racing four cars?
Nope, I wouldn't say that's trickery.
Why not?
And the reason why I wouldn't say it's
because
trickery.
Because my man think he can win.
Yeah, there you go. He think he can win, and he put his stuff out there.
He think he can win. He done got up there. He think he can win.
And you can make a mistake.
So now I'm going to go to the B part of the question, because that's right. So now, if I hustle a race, and that guy feels, all right, I think I can beat you with that. Where's the trickery at? Because it's the same thing. You just said it was. He thinks he could beat me. When you lock in that race, that guy's locking that race because he thinks he can beat you. Whatever steps are in it, he still thinks he can beat you. So I don't understand the trickery.
Yeah, but that's
part of the hustle.
Now you
go
on with stiffs now. You don't change it. You don't change it now.
No,
you're
not
on the stiffs.
Whatever it is, whatever you're gonna have stiffs in every race. You're gonna have stiffs in every race.
What I understand, when you first lock the guy in the first time, y'all got a nice even race going up to the green and going to green or whatever, go to the eighth of the mile or whatever, and the guy thinking he can get you some kind of way there. Now you're saying something about stiffs. So what stiffs are you talking about? You got to go ahead and stipulate what you're talking about before before you can be tricking the guy. It's got to be some kind of way as a trick to it. So I haven't heard the trickery part.
Yeah,
I just heard y'all going to
the trick. The trick is that I'm faster than him.
That don't make no difference. Ain't nobody faster than nobody.
Yeah, there's always one person faster than the other. You just hope it's you.
No, you know
why? There's always one person faster than the other.
But that's not a trick, though. That's just clean race right there.
And then there's always somebody for you. No matter how fast you are, somebody always going to show up.
Are we talking about grudge racing, street racing? Is that the kind of racing we're talking about? Or are we talking about, like, like NHRA racing where there's rules that you go, what are we talking about here? Because we all come from
But just use my race for an example. We supposed to leave on a green light. My man leave on the red light. The VP man get a guy the money who red lit. That's some trickery.
No,
all of what you talking about, all
that's
clean racing.
I think that bullshit.
Well, that's the trickery. Trickery and bullshit is the same thing.
Yeah. And reason why that's trickery, because it was the game from the beginning. They already knew, regardless of whatever you did, you wasn't going to get that money anyway. That you was going to lose anyway. So that's a trick. That's what you call a trick. No matter what you do, you're still going to lose. That's like me going pop around the corner and got my man, shoot him right there. That's a trick. I already know he did. He don't see me coming. That's a trick. When you don't see something coming, that's a trick. But if you're going up in a regular racing, you can see everything coming. You can see the ass when it comes. But when you get tricked, you can't see that because you don't believe it. You don't believe it happened to you. That's the trick I'm talking about. And that's what I've been seeing a lot of this year. A lot of damn tricks.
How do you fix that? How do you fix that trickery then?
Yeah, watch the people you're dealing with. You can't fix it.
Yeah.
Just the people you deal with. You get that and you see who the crowd is and you keep listening. Like we listening, you listening, you know who those people are, you don't deal with them.
And Melvin, it goes right back what you said just a few minutes ago, man. And that's why people aren't racing.
Exactly. That's why they don't race no more, because of that.
You can still get around it. If you go there and if a person ain't playing no games and they know you race and you keep your money in your pocket and their money too, you put your money in some of your people's hands. And if you know they're going to act like that, you go right there that same day running them and call them right out the same day you're there. You keep your money in your pocket and give it to somebody who you know going to do the right thing. You know. They had their opportunity to use their people, now you use your people. Well, you know it ain't going to be no bullshit. So you can still go up there and race them.
That's a good way to do it, too.
Yeah, but
you
got to agree to it, though, Melvin. You know what I mean?
That's what if you chose to. You can beat them. You can beat them. You know, beat them out their own game. You just got to do it another way. You got to pull up to the racetrack, listen, know they're going to be there, pull up on them, have your people right there in place. Look, if you want to do this right here, this is who the money, hand the money going in, and that's it. And ain't going to be no playground. And they know it's not a playground. So it can be beat. But that's what those scary people, in my opinion, is too many people don't teamed up. You know, it's too many people that have race cars, but then went and got fully joined on another side, and all of them is there and in there for the game. So don't nobody want to lose. That's the whole thing right now. And they use every technique they can to stop from losing. You're not supposed to want to lose anyway, but now they don't scrapping up everything. Everything is strewn on every end, and they use everybody, and there's so many people right standing right beside you that's against you right now. See, that's another thing. That's what makes shit bad if you really want to know the truth. You know, too many people are teaming up against, you know, one person. You know, I'm going to give you an example. Just like Tony Bynes. Look at everybody. This man come out there and race every week. Man, they beat this man with a baseball bat every week. Whether he win or lose, they don't care. They take a baseball bat and just beat him right to the ground. And he races every week, you know. So, you know, that's an example right there. How many people against him? And they go find people for him to try to get him. Just like drones now. I mean, if you really want to tell the truth. You look at it for yourself. Look at it for yourself. Look at it for yourself. Don't need a camera right now. man, you got people over top of you and chasing you down and following you, don't you know, from every corner. Yep.
Gotta look at the big picture, huh, unknown?
All the time. That's why I sit back and I listen most of the time. People might not like me for what I say most times, but what I'm trying to tell you is the big picture. That's what you got to look at. You can't sit there and just accept a whole bunch of little small things. You know, because if you do, you're going to be lost in the shadow. You can come to that dead end sooner than later. It's out there. That's just like a whales. You come on some of these shows and people talk to each other in a kind of way, cuss each other out. I can sit right here and look at how many buddies laid on. It's going to get in a fight or argument or go and kill each other. Because, number one, they don't know how to talk to each other. They disrespect each other, say anything to each other. Then when it gets so personal about people, family and kids and all that, then bam, what's going to happen? Now, last week we were buddies. Now what we're going to do, we're ready to kill each other. Talk about killing each other. Why? Because that disrespect. And that's where it's going to come from. And people just never see it. And I sit back here sometimes, and I shake my head because I know where they're going at. You're a buddy this week, and you're a dead man next week. And your own buddy kills you. Damn shame. Excuse me, I won't even cuss.
You got that right. Said a mouthful over there, buddy.
I see it.
Yep.
And it's a hurting feeling the way we treat each other. And the things we do to each other, that stuff is going to come to an end. And it's going to be your own buddy. That's who it's going to be. Your own buddy, somebody you were friends with. And I hope the whole world heard. Because that's what we're doing.
Yep.
And you got to look at the big picture. Just like Shake this said, I always say it. Got to look at it. That's the big picture. Well, Shaq, you got my big mouth on. I don't know. I might be too big mouthy, but hey.
No, never think that.
I'm going to tell it like it is. That's it.
Telling it like it is.
That's it.
Melvin Coney.
Go ahead.
Melvin Coney, I'm sorry for talking about your ponytail, Melvin. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry, Melvin.
Hey, at least you didn't cut it, so you're good. You know what I'm saying? Hey, shit happens in this world, man. You know.
I had some scissors in my hand. I'm sorry, Melvin. I didn't mean to talk about your ponytail.
You good? You get a rain check.
Teo, you got something you want to say?
No, man, I'm good.
Okay. All right, it's 11 o'clock, fellas. Y'all through with this tonight, or y'all got something else you want to talk about? Because unknown and told us we got to look at the big picture.
That's it.
Shake.
Wait. Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm a shake.
Someone else got a trip in now.
Hey, favorite Ness, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Hi to everybody.
Right.
I'm right now, so you better say hi to everybody.
Stage fright.
No, they got to say hi to everybody.
Everyone.
There you go.
Okay, hello.
Hello.
You were there that one night that I gave jokes.
Yeah, this is where I get all my jokes from, unknown.
I see. That's the best place. They're going to be clean and good.
Yeah.
Hey, Unknown. If Tao came up with all these jokes, we paid Tao for these jokes. I wonder, did he pay my niece?
I don't think so. He stayed gone all the time.
Oh,
he gets 75%.
She didn't get her cut. Niece,
you travel too much.
Hey, Chachi, did you get your cut?
It sounds like she's from Detroit. She wants 95%. Look at his dad.
Very nice question.
She want it all.
See your daddy. See your daddy. He got all the money.
That's right.
Oh, boy. I'm coming to see you, Chachi. I don't know when, but I'm coming to see you.
Yay!
All right. Okay, people. We're going to call this show out. I want to thank my special guest for coming on, Kenny Osborne, which is a veteran. I want to thank Mac Travis for coming on. He's another veteran, first time on the show. I want to thank Brother Brent. Get that car ready because you got Melvin Ponytail standing on top of his head, Brent. I want to thank Unknown for coming on and Brother Corey for coming on. And always, we want to thank Tao all the way from California. I want to thank Big Mark showing up. And Kid was in the house today. My boy Kid. Remember what I tell you, people. Always put God first in everything you do. And watch and see what happens. Well, people, I want to leave this show. I don't know. Sometimes I got a phone call from one of my brother-in-law died. And I might have to go out of town, so if y'all don't see me, if I don't have a show next week, you know why. Other than that, peace out of here.